It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo, South America, Australia, France, Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Here we go, off and running on this 28th day of July, the penultimate program for the month of July here at the Horn. This program is live. I'm sitting right here in the fabulous Horn Studios at the magnificent Kincaid Mansion. And I would say it's hotter than hell outside, but hell isn't that humid. And waters are still rising throughout central Appalachia as the flooding continues. And, oh, we'll get to that in a minute. This is the Horn, and if you would like, it is Thorn in the Side Thursday, and if you would like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time, madcap, multimedia extravaganza that is the Horn chat room in the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, all times in between, and the great globe round, well, head over to headon.live, click on chat room, pick yourself out a screen name and a password. And jump right in. You'll be greeted by early arrivers, Roger Norgan and Anatole and Squeaky, and capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, although he is a third stage guild navigator, is exercising discretion, the better part of valor, and not folding space to become a man cave. He is capably assisted and co-moderated with by pinch hit midweek chat room utility moderator and all around great guy, Brother Bishop Steve from Georgia Stan. Steve! Gotta do that. That's where the cool kids are hanging out. And if you pop by, everybody will say, hey! Howdy, Anatole. Howdy. Like I said, it's Thorn in the Side Thursday. And by the way, every program here at the Horn it begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. So thanks go out to our 28th day of the month subscribers. Thank you ever so kindly to Sharon. Thank you, Sharon. Thank you to Charlene in Rogues Island. Thank you to Suman. Thank you so very much, all of you, for being partial sponsors of the program and helping to keep this little bake sale radio effort on the air for a lot longer than a lot of commercial broadcasts have been, frankly. Thank you. Where do we stand? Well, it's grim, y'all. We got today and we got tomorrow. Remember, I was going to take off for Alabama tomorrow, but no. I'm still hoping to be able to make my doctor's appointment in the greater Nash Vegas area on Monday. But I won't be leaving tomorrow. And so, consequently, the fundraising goal at present stands at $1,747, which is kind of horrifying, a lot horrifying. We've got a chance to take it down a hunk, though, because our dear friend Chris in Germany has put forward the Fuck the Theocrats challenge. Hear, 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 hear. and it's to the tune of $150. So that being the case, if we can raise $150, it'll double to three, and we will take care of one of the almost six entire broadcast days of unfunded broadcasting that we've got out there. We'll take care of one of those days, and we'll get it down to, I got to even cipher that, 1447. So the Fuck the Theocrats challenge is on the table, and every contribution that comes in with it will receive a not suitable for framing because it says fuck, but you'll get a hearty fuck the Theocrats from your humble hostess. Humble hostess? I'm easily confused. No, what I was going to say, what I meant to kind of start the program with, here in Central Appalachia, and particularly Kentucky Stan, well, the governor there has declared a state of emergency because of flooding. And it has affected us, too. Down around Mingo County, used to be known in the early parts of the 20th century as Bloody Mingo because of the mine wars. Mingo County is where Matewan is. And it's across the river from Kentucky. And Big Sandy River is out of its banks. And the floodwaters haven't even crested in Kentucky yet. Thousands of people are without power. It's horrible. It's horrible. And so I've heard coverage of it all day long. But you know what's curious about where the flooding is? I bet you can guess. The areas that are being flooded just happen to have had the living bejesus blown out of them over the last 20 plus years, the last quarter century or so, by coal companies scraping off of, you know, wiping out, you know, hundreds of mountains, burying thousands of miles of streams. You know what streams are? Streams are places where the water goes when it rains. And, of course, the mountains themselves are really, even though the soil is thin, when it's heavily wooded, hardwoods and evergreens, and oh, they soak it. But when they're not there, they can't do that. And non-native scrub-ass grasses and stones do not absorb just a hell of a lot of rainfall. But you tune into this program. Tune in. you choose this program. You were part of this community. And therefore, you know the rest of the story. Because none of the for-profit media outlets, the petroleum radio or anything, had anything to say about that. And it's the darndest thing. Because you'd think that blowing away a bunch of mountains and leaving flat places that turn rainfall into spillways might be something that a professional journalist might notice. But no. And of course, the rainfall itself, I mean, I've never been to India. I'd love to go someday. Probably not, though. You know, trans woman and all. But the fact of the matter is, I use the word jokingly, but it feels a little bit like what monsoon must feel like in South Asia. It just rains and rains and rains and rains. And meanwhile, people in, like, California are going, shut up, Robin. Out in California, you could probably start a 10,000 acre forest fire with some adolescent little pissant lighting his own farts. But nonetheless, you know, this is climate change. And there's been a lot of talk all day long. You know, we talked about it in yesterday's program about Joe Manchin and the great big whopping humongous yada 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 climate deal. I'm sorry I'm such a skeptic. I'm sorry I'm Robin Kincaid, little ray of sunshine. But Joe Manchin's fingerprints are all over this thing. And I have, in 20 years of being the Manchin whisperer, I have never seen him act in good faith. Once I did. I saw him do it once. That was when he was shamed into, as governor of West Virginia, he was shamed into funding a new elementary school at Marsh Fork Elementary because the kids were going to school right next to a coal cleaning facility underneath a mountaintop removal site and a sludge dam. And the kids were getting sick and the teachers were getting cancer and dying and things like that. And through a program that was run under Coal River Mountain Watch called Pennies of Promise, a brave and dedicated man named Ed Wiley walked from the Coal River Valley to Washington, D.C. to beg the then still alive Senator Robert C. Byrd for help and to tell him about what mountaintop removal was doing. And along came the Annenberg Foundation, which is deeply interested in educational issues. And they put up the front money to, and that shamed Joe Manchin into putting school building authority money into the new Marsh Fork Elementary School too. But he did act in good faith then. But when I hear media coverage of the climate deal and it includes the phrase energy security, well, that means people in the sacrifice zone of Central Appalachia stock up on paper towels and Windex and the like because the mountains are going to start blowing up again. And program note. And this is so frustrating because if you're listening, that means you're listening live and you're probably not taking the podcast. But the fact of the matter is we've been podbeamed again because Podbean sucks. Podbean sucks a lot. So I went to upload the program to Podbean last night, and here we are, right on the threshold, 3,000 downloads away from 500,000 all-time downloads on Podbean. I mean, like, you know, my buddy Rick Smith passed that eons ago. But it's a big deal for us, because we're just a little bake sale radio, like Ed Schultz used to say. But we're right on the threshold of crossing the 500,000 downloads mark, and we can't upload to Podbean because, you know, every month I pay Podbean for unlimited uploads. And every month, around the end of the month, especially the 31-day months, you have uploaded too much. In order to be fair to everyone else, you can't upload until the first of the month. So please, you know, spread it around among the community. You know, y'all talk amongst each other. You've got a little email coconut telegraph thing going on. The program is going up every evening after the program at White Rose Society. That's why it's so important to have sort of some redundancy in the uploads. When White Rose was down, if this had happened, be screwed. And I'll put them up. Well, I guess if I get to go to my checkup when I get back, I'll put up Wednesday, today, and tomorrow at Podbean, and then that'll screw me over for the end of August. Just program note: the podcast has not gone away. The podcast is right there at White Rose Society, like it's been since February of 2004, something like that. So please make a note of it. But anyway, the sackcloth and ash sitting, the hand wringing, the pearl clutching, the oh my stars and gartering from the Republican Party can be heard at Elon Musk's secret outpost on Mars. Because, I mean, did I ever dream I would say this? No. Am I kind of happy to be saying it? Yes. Because Chuck Schumer outmaneuvered Moscow Mitch McConnell. And as we noted yesterday, he did it in a long game fashion. He knew what he wanted, and he got his group together and got it through, got the semiconductor bill passed, all the while people were throwing a fit about Mitch McConnell making a deal with Joe Biden about a right-wing anti-choice judge who's not even open to be nominated for a seat. It was kind of beautiful. I mean, this was some real live, honest to goodness, 11D-dimensional chess. And I don't know how, I think we know it here, but the fact of the matter is, Joe Manchin holds no love for Moscow Mitch. I mean, they share a common dedication to the coal industry, but that doesn't mean they're pals. They're not like Superman and Batman sitting around the table at Super Friends. Well, hell, I mean, considering who they are, they're not even the Joker and the Riddler sitting around the table down at the Legion of Doom or whatever the hell they are. And so I have a feeling that there had to be just a little bit of joy when Joe got to put the shiv betwixt the ribs back there where a turtle can't reach. So just, you know, I'll take my little, I'll take my little victories where I can get them. Because there are so goddamn few of them. But it was a nice one. It was damn sure a nice one. Oh, and Sparky tells me, I mentioned an adolescent lighting their farts in California. No, it's less complex than that. Sparky tells me 112 degree weather, all you need is a broken piece of glass laying in dry grass. Well, I have no doubt that that's actually demonstrably true. Oh, and thank you, Ralphs. Ralphs just got us started on Chris's Fuck the Theocrats challenge. So fuck the Theocrats, each and every one of them, and the little best part of them ran down mama's leg, people, men, like the ones in the West Virginia legislature. More on that in a minute. As to mountaintop removal, Stephen New York says, so what you're saying is that blowing away mountains and deforesting the area is the coal company's gifts that keep on giving or taking. If you're sitting there watching your double wide float down the Big Sandy River that's out of its banks, yeah. That's basically that. And this from Darlene in Connecticut. The climate bill is probably another watered-down piece of crap that lacks the urgency needed, thanks to Manchin and Joe, the mansion born. And Chuck will give the underwhelming promise that this is just a first step. Meanwhile, everything is burning. Women still have no rights. It won't be just at the point of fertilization. And I'm telling you, most Americans don't get, understand, or are too tired and broke to care about the nuances. Since when has this country ever done been any good at nuance? We're more like the, forest in front of your face that keeps you from seeing the trees. But you're not wrong, Darlene. And it is watered down. We're going to limit emission. Get this. This is beautiful. The climate bill promises to reduce carbon emissions by 40% by 2030. By 2030, we needed to be working toward, zero. So you're right, Darlene. It's watered down. But, if you're Brian Schatz from Hawaii, whom I saw earlier today, if you're the coherent member of the Senate delegation from California, you're terribly, terribly excited about this. I've heard them. This is great. This is historic. This is momentous. We haven't done anything like this in ever. And that much is true. The Senate of the United States is like a toddler being potty trained. Mommy has to stand there when they, go in the potty and pat them on their little heads and tell them how wonderful they are and how big and grown up they are. The Senate, it's a big deal when the Senate can agree on, Senate Navy bean soup in the cafeteria. They're that dysfunctional. They just are. And so anytime they fit, remember that, it's the same speech from the gun bill. The gun bill that didn't limit the access of testosterone overloaded white boys to AR-15s. This is historic. This is momentous. This is monumental. This is groundbreaking. This is game-changing. This isn't going to stop even one AR-15 murder. Unless they enact the red flag laws. God, I'm sorry. Shame on me. I don't mean to be in such a bad frame of mind. But I'm tired of... And I think you are, too. I think we all are. Tired of having our shoes peed on by someone who's telling us it's raining. And we don't need, at least here where I am, we don't need the rain. That's just a starting point for the evening. But there's ever so much more. Bunches and bunches, really. We had some remarks. We had some remarks from President Biden today, because I get all of these right wing garbage press releases, and my inbox was just. Well, it was kind of like when your toilet backs up. I saw it this morning. America enters recession. No, we're not in a recession. For sake, we are not in a recession. Because you don't have recessions when your economy is adding jobs hand over fist. No, this is. I mean, that's why this big deal bill is being called the deficit reduction. The I'm sorry, Inflation Reduction Act of 2022. But that. But of course, you know, that's not going to stop a bunch of goddamn Republicans from being the goddamn liars that they are. Because that's who they are. But and of course the multimillionaires of the for-profit media will keep on and on and on hollering about a recession that doesn't exist. But nonetheless, Joe Biden had to speak out and say a few words, and it apparently got under the skin of our dear friend Matt in San Francisco. Subject line, kitchen table issues. If I hear this phrase one more time, I may take my 1945 Haywood Wakefield dining table and throw it out my second story window. Oh, don't do that. I mean, at least, you know, put it on Facebook yard sale or something. I mean, you could hurt yourself lifting it and throwing it out the window. Let somebody else do that. But I get it. And after, you know, probably inevitably there will be some reference to Joe and Jane Sixpack and meat and potatoes. And it does get tiresome. And then, of course, in order to prop up their own relevance, the for-profit media will then turn around and say, why is everybody talking about a recession? And then on the way to the break, they'll say, and when we come back, more about the recession. Oh, my aching back. It just goes on and on and on. And I guess that's why we're talking about it on Thorn in the Side Thursday. Oh, well. It'll be a while, I guess, before we hear any more from the J6 committee, but they will apparently be working through the break to one degree or another. And there's talk now of, I think I'll go online and look for the really, really fancy highfalutin popcorn for this. There's talk of possibly subpoenaing Clarence Pubes on the Coke can Slappy Thomas's wife, Jenny. You know, insurrectionist Jenny. Because at one point she was, oh, I'll talk to you. And then she lawyered up, and the lawyer's like, no, you have to tell us exactly what your procedures are and all the questions. We got to get all the questions in advance. And, no. No, what you'll get is a subpoena. And then we can all see how, Slappy feels, who, by the way, has stopped, if I read this correctly, he's decided to stop lecturing at American University. I don't know why I was thinking Georgetown, maybe because, you know, Jesuits or something. But no, he's decided to stop. He was apparently, you know, lecturing at the law school at American University. But some people have been less than fawning over Slappy. And as a result, he's decided he's going to take his Coke can with the pubes on it and go home. Because some tuition paying law students had some ideas of their own that maybe a fascist theocrat ought not be stealing the rights of more than half the population and talking about dissolving other people's marriages and talking about taking away the rights of people to love each other the way they want to love each other. Well, that looks good. Ralph suggests Amish country popcorn. But a six-pound bag, Ralphs. I couldn't pop six pounds of popcorn in a couple of years. That's a lot. Ron in Raleigh says, let's keep that mood going. Do you get tired of these headlines? Want to make a wager on the outcome of the investigation? And a recession is defined as two quarters with falling GDP. Maybe we need to change the definition. But the headlines, this in question. Yeah, here we go again. Deputy kills unarmed black man after alleged shoplifting from Houston Dollar General. And it's an execution-style shooting of Roderick Brooks, July the 8th. Chased him down on foot, then shot him right at the juncture of his head and his neck at close range. And the family's calling for an investigation. And we know how the investigation will turn out, don't we? Summary execution on the part of the Harris County Sheriff's Department. No, I will not take your bet on the outcome of the investigation, Ron, because I know how it's going to go. Matt in San Francisco, subject line, Joe to the mansion born. Any bill that has a gas pipeline from West Virginia to Virginia is suspect, especially when they're touting the climate provisions. Well, but Joe has to get something. Joe has to be able to get his beak wet. Then, of course, Matt adds, just because Joe's for it doesn't mean there isn't some other lovely Democrat willing to turn their thumbs down while skirt twirling as they stick a knife in hope one more time. Well, it won't take long to find out because they're making a lot of noise about getting this done before they run away for their August recess.
Yay, recess!
And by the way, that pipeline, the only people who want that pipeline are people who work on pipelines and fracking companies and natural gas companies. The people who are going to live near the compressor stations and run and wake up and go to sleep every day wondering if this is the day that the entire neighborhood blows to kingdom come, they're not so crazy about it. And it doesn't do them a damn bit of good. I mean, it's funny. I can't get natural gas here, even though they're working wells out the road from me, because it's for somebody else. Just like we have at least one wind farm in this state where the electricity doesn't even benefit anybody in West Virginia. But at least with a wind farm, nobody's house is going to blow up. So you're not off the mark, Matt. Sorry, I didn't mean to. No, you're not. And I'm waiting till somebody looks deep in the bill and finds the provision for my favorite carbon-based boondoggle, carbon capture and storage. You know, the other night, no, it was last night. It's last night. Casting about for something to watch, because that's kind of the best part of the day for Annette and me. We sit there and, what do you want to watch? Oh, I don't know. Because we're done with Star Trek Strange New Worlds until, you know, the next season comes along in like 2032. I think maybe we get one more Orville, maybe tonight. That'd be nice. But just because it's a classic and it only gets better with age, we watched cut of Blade Runner that was, I think it was 2007. The director's cut that's sort of his personal approved version. And that thing is visually stunning, and especially the broad views of the greater Los Angeles gigaplex. And the, you know, and where it constantly rains, you know, and there's acid rain. And I giggled a little bit about the fact that it's set in 2019. Nope, sorry, we don't have the flying cars yet. I think of all the people, our pal Reverbo, the human man, is probably most disappointed in that. No helium-filled pants, no flying cars. I mean, there's a flying car out there. One of you sent me a note and said, but ain't none of us going to be able to afford it, and that's true. But the thing that always gets me in that those opening scenes are all of the, I guess they're fracking columns, and they're venting, constantly venting flares of fire, you know, burning off gases into the nighttime sky. And oddly enough, there are places in West Virginia and Kentucky you can drive by that look a lot like that. You know, without the huge ziggurat of the Tyrell Corporation in the background. But as we continue to try to frack our way to, and blast our way to freedom and prosperity. No, it doesn't look like that. Didn't look like that in 2019, but by 2119, if there are still people on the planet, it may look like that. So, and Matt, you know, a certain skirt twirling senator, Democrat, I know who you're talking about. That would be Kirsten Curtsey Cinema. But apparently she's on board, too, so there must have been something in there for her. Which sets up a, assuming, and that's the other joker in the deck now, COVID. It sets up a situation where hopefully every Democratic member of the Senate has been double boosted and is wearing their freaking mask. Because if one of them goes down sick, the bill doesn't pass. Oh, Jesus, Di-Fi. Oh, no. And then, since this is Thorn in the Side Thursday, and apparently I am the thorn this evening, as I was reading about this, you know, climate legislation and the, you know, the inflation reduction and yada, 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 and frisbees and wheat checks and... Another thing occurred to me, because it's the kind of thing that occurs to me, and that is that there will be, I mean, we've got to make some assumptions here, it will pass the Senate, maybe it'll be, you know, maybe Vice President Kamala Harris will cast the tie-breaking vote, because I don't think Lisa Murkowski and Susan Collins are gonna get on this bill. So if there are 50 Democrat votes, Kamala Harris will have to break the tie. And we will be suddenly awash if you, you know, like open YouTube or anything. You'll be hit with political ads saying, the Democrats are going to tax us all to death. And that'll be every other story in the for-profit multimillionaire media. And then the lawsuit will be filed. I don't know. Maybe in Texas, maybe in Tennessee, maybe in the Southern District of Alabama or the Redneck Riviera District of Florida, and 20 maggot states will join it. And before you can say parts per million, some maggot-appointed judge will enjoin enforcement of the freshly passed bill. Is there a dissenting voice in that regard? Anybody willing to say, nah, Robin, come on, you're just being a pessimist. Quit it. I don't think there is. Yeah, I do, Randy Radar. Don't you hate it when you're right? I got that phrase from Tara, Randy says. Yeah, what is that movie? It Must Be Nice to Be Right on the... what is that film? It Must Be Nice to Be Right All the Time, and the answer is no. It's terrible. Oh, what line does that movie come from? Somebody will figure it out. Now, back to the January 6th hearings. They will continue to work through the break. And now they're moving, apparently, up the ladder. It's almost like watching a drug prosecution. You know, they come in, they take down the possessor, and they get the possessor to roll on the street level dealer, and they get the street level dealer to, because the ultimate goal is to get the kingpin. And apparently, Mick Mulvaney is testifying before the select committee, like today. And they've got their eyes also on Mike Pompeo. We haven't heard about him in a while. You know, he graduated first in his class at West Point. Oh, God, that's never going to stop being funny to say. Steve Mnuchin. Oh, Elaine Chao. And Betsy DeVos, Chad Wolf, John Ratcliffe, and Robert O'Brien as the Beaver. Now, and the closer they get, the more shit fits Nitwit Nero has. This is that strategy known as stoking the stroke. They are expecting that Mike Pompeo, who graduated first in his class at West Point, will be talking to the committee, but it's not officially scheduled. And curiously, I say curiously because of the voluminous amount of time we spent on this program going over the workings of the thing, they are looking now at the conversations had inside the cabinet about Section 4 of the 25th Amendment. Now, granted, they never screwed their courage to the sticking place and did anything, but they were apparently talking about it after the terrorist attack on the Capitol of January 6, 2021. Reporting from CNN indicates that former Director of National Intelligence John Ratcliffe and his acting Secretary of Homeland Security Chad Wolf are talking with the committee now about talking to the committee. I know it sounds rather obtuse, doesn't it? But they're particularly interested in talking to Mulvaney and Elaine Chao and Betsy DeVos because they resigned. They resigned directly and proximately as a result of what happened on January 6th. So finding out from them just exactly, you know, something more than their resignation letters. Fuck it, I quit. Trying to go into some greater detail than that. And that'll be... That'll be more than interesting. But the problem is the clock is ticking. And even though the Congress goes on its August recess, there's no throwing the ball out of bounds and stopping the clock and pushing back the November midterms. Because ultimately, what we've got to know is, will the January 6th Commission issue a criminal referral to slow-walking Merrick Garland's Department of Justice? Because I keep coming back to the breathless headline. Oh, the Justice Department has confirmed that they are investigating Donald Trump's actions surrounding the January 6th insurrection. Yeah, well, they're still investigating Matt. It just gates worse as a transfer of $800 to his wingman to pay an underage girl for sex. But like I said at the beginning, and God, who doesn't love a little bit of schadenfreude? Remember, we've still got $125 to go on Chris's Fuck the Theocrats challenge. Fuck the Theocrats. That one's free. We desperately need to get caught up with all of this stuff because we can't end months with near $2,000 deficits. We simply cannot. But if you ever wanted to hear a Republican have a hissy, the hissy you want to hear is probably going to come from Louisiana-style Senator John Jubilation T. Cornpone, Foghorn Leghorn, Canada, who ran, did not walk, but ran to Fox News TV Radio Rwanda to complain about how the Republicans had done been hoodooed by that carnival barker Joe Manchin.
But the timing of the Senator Manchin deal, I don't think was any accident.
What do you mean?
Democrats had some of my colleagues in the Senate agreed to support the 400 or 390 or 290, whatever it was. I can't count that high.
280.
Subsidy to big tech. Okay? And so they couldn't have passed that bill without Republican votes. So the Democrats... Well, basically, they sucked my Republican votes up like a Hoover Deluxe and then got their votes and then, bam, announced this new tax increase.
Double cross.
I don't think there aren't very many coincidences here on Capitol Hill. I think that the timing was exquisite. We look like a bunch of, well, I'm not going to say what we look like.
Oh, say what you look like. No, really, really, Foghorn, say it. Looked like a bunch of marks sitting at a three-card Monte table? Yeah? Yeah, looked like a bunch of rubes at the carnival? Looked like a bunch of assholes? They sucked up Republican votes like a Hoover Deluxe. Come on. Welcome to the 21st century, Jubilation. Is there even any such thing as a Hoover Deluxe anymore? Does anybody under the age of, say, me, know what a Hoover Deluxe was? I mean, a Kirby? No, that was the most expensive vacuum cleaner on earth, the Kirby. But I guess maybe he hadn't gotten any campaign contributions from the Oric people yet. You know, doesn't Oric advertise on like right wing talk radio some? But the bill does do some good things. It keeps the Affordable Care Act alive. And apparently a subsidized Affordable Care Act policy, according to President Biden today, would drop by some $800 a year. I'm still trying to figure out how a big chunk of $739 billion is going to come from the 15% corporate tax rate when a shit ton of the corporations in this country, by the time all the accounting magic has happened, pay, 0% corporate tax rate. And, of course, you know, President Biden said he wanted to thank Joe Manchin for his extraordinary effort. And I guess because Joe to the Manchin born is Queen of the Senate, we're all going to sit around and hold our breaths and make sure that nobody pisses Joe off. Maybe I'd better hush. One hopes that what Biden said is true. That there will be thousands of new jobs in the clean energy sector. God, I would. It's still one of my fondest dreams to put solar panels on this house. I mean, granted, if I did that and it was grid tied, still, when Appalachian Power fucked up, we wouldn't have any power. But my power bill would be dramatically, at least significantly lower. Yeah, I've actually started looking into it, mostly on a, dreaming basis. There will be some money into efforts to lower ridiculously and deliberately elevated prescription medicine prices. Think like, insulin. Oh, today is Thursday, and Thursday is, of course, shot day for me, and I got my next to last shot because the medication that I use ain't being produced at all. So I have to figure out some way to maintain my drug therapy when the stuff that's prescribed for me no longer exists. Never a dull moment. But we will get to wait and see. We will get to see if Democrats manage to stay healthy. And you never know when one of those unvaccinated Republicans is going to come up and slap a senator on, "Hey, old son," pop him on the back, breathing about an inch and a half from his face, the scent of the stale bourbon covering up all of the COVID particles that he's spewing into the face of his Democratic counterpart. You think they wouldn't do that? Shit. Yeah. Darlene in Connecticut notes, Elaine, Betsy, et al. Bailed rather than save this nation by invoking the 25th. They are not heroes just because they may speak to the January 6th committee. I hope I did not suggest that they are. They are still awful. But it would be interesting to find out how they go about trying to cover their asses. And I'd like to know the process by which they decided that the 25th Amendment didn't cover the moment. because the fact of the matter is, in our discussions of the 25th Amendment, we had circumstance after circumstance after circumstance where we said, hey, why isn't anybody talking 25th Amendment about this? And I'm not just talking about COFEFE. I mean, it's all right there in the archive. Shambling, stumbling. Barely able to speak. The every evening shit show. Oh, well, that's just great. Thank you, Clarence. Clarence with an update via the Hill. Yeah, that's wonderful. Dick Durbin has the Senate Majority Whip from Illinois. Dick Durbin has tested positive for COVID. In his statement from his office, he said, "Thankfully, I'm fully vaccinated and double boosted and only experiencing minor symptoms. Consistent with CDC guidelines, I will quarantine and follow advice from my doctor while I continue to work remotely." It all kind of throws the timing of the consideration of this bill into a little bit of chaos. And we have some Herschel Walker news. Herschel's out there unburdening himself of his vast knowledge of the law concerning who may marry whom. He's still dodging debates with Senator Raphael Warnock. Fox News TV Radio Rwanda is still desperately trying to keep him viable. And he's still trying to run away from the three unacknowledged children that he's got. The only Walker kid that most of America is even vaguely aware of is Christian Walker. And Christian Walker won't come right out and say he's gay, but he does say he's attracted to men. And, come on out, Christian. You're valid. It's okay. But anyway, Fox News TV Radio Rwanda just shoehorned in scads and scads of white people to the Long Street Cafe in Gainesville, Georgia. Wonder if that's named after Confederate General Longstreet. Don't know. But they crammed him in at the Longstreet Cafe in Gainesville for an interview, live and on the spot, between Brian Kilmeade and Herschel. Giving Herschel a chance to talk about the three unacknowledged children. And this then transpired.
World. And one thing that's come up since you got the nomination is revelations about three children. What do you want people to know about that? Have you, you have not been public about that?
Well, I never would be public about it because, you know, one of my kids who wanted to be in the media has gotten a lot
Christian.
Of threats. He's gotten a lot of threats. He finished his last year with security guards. So why would I want to talk about any of my other kids and put them at jeopardy, which is what they want to do? They have tried to demonize me.
Oh, he's doing it for the children. Yes, of course. Put them at jeopardy. How many other... Well, if we're talking about Republicans, I'd probably better not ask that. But I was going to say, how many other Republican candidates you reckon are out there that have three unacknowledged kids? Is it okay to ask how many mamas the three unacknowledged kids have? Because, see, among other things, Herschel is a big, big fan of, say, Clarence Pubes on the Coke can Slappy Thomas's idea of revisiting Obergefell versus Hodges and sending it back to the states to decide who can and cannot get married or how people can love each other. Now, that would be Lawrence versus Texas. And at one point, Herschel was asked, can we stop the gay weddings? Now, again, Herschel has a son, Christian, who, while he does not identify as gay, is attracted to men. I never see a phrase like that without thinking about Roy Cohn. Not gay. Just like to have sex with guys. Okay, then.
Can we stop the gay weddings?
Gay weddings. Well, the gay weddings is something that you have to work with the Congress. I think that each state got to determine that. Yes, but that's against stuff I believe in. So that each state is going to stop all of that.
All right. Thank you so much.
So, gay weddings is something I don't believe in. And you kind of all of a sudden understand why Christian Walker would say, no, I'm not gay. I'm just into guys. Because you never know when daddy's going to threaten you with a gun or a knife. That's against stuff I believe in. Well, what is the stuff that you believe in, Herschel? Maybe you could answer that in a debate. No, you're a chicken shit, and you don't even want to be in the same area code with Senator Warnock answering questions like that. Each state got to determine that. And see, the whole business of not acknowledging his own kids, he filled out a form for Nitwit Nero's Council on Sports, Fitness, and Nutrition, in which one lists one's kids. And back then, he didn't acknowledge. He's got a previously undisclosed 10-year-old son. He doesn't visit. He's got family values, Herschel does, but he doesn't visit that son. But he does send Christmas and birthday presents. And then, that boy's mama took Herschel to court, and now he not only has to send Christmas and birthday presents, but he has to send child support. Wonder if maybe that has something to do with the kids' privacy, too. No, I'm not going to send you any child support. I want to protect your privacy. And yet, his candidacy is, oh my God, viable. Quite the thorny day, isn't it? Oh, and Senator Foghorn Leghorn is not the only Republican who's having a purple polka-dotted blue screaming conniption. No. Enter the number two, and I do mean number two man in the Senate, in the Republican caucus of the Senate. I'm talking about John Cornholio of Texas. John Cornholio, I guess he feels betrayed? Well, darn the luck, John. Welcome to the party. We know a little bit about that feeling of being betrayed by Joe Manchin. He's been doing it to his entire constituency for years. Well, at least the constituency who aren't multimillionaires. Kevers McCarthy has also said, I feel like I was lied to. Oh, shut up, Kevers, and go play another hand of three card Monte. Cornholio said, it's a complete flip-flop. Everything he said was against, now he's for. And I just wonder what the transaction was that got him to yes. And it poisons the well in my relationship with Democrats.
What relationship with Democrats, John Cornholio?
I mean, tell us about it. Oh, wait a minute. I know what he meant. That means that John Cornholio is so upset that he will no longer go to the wonderful, wonderful barbecues and cocktail parties that Joe Manchin is said to throw aboard his yacht.
I won't drink his liquor no more. You know, when a Texan won't drink your liquor no more, you know you ain't friends.
Fuck you, Cindy. I ain't your friend no more.
They work around here. Even though we're political adversaries, there has to be some modicum of that when people tell you something, you can believe them. That's been pretty well eviscerated.
Cry me a river, John. I think the eviscerating went on a while back, didn't it? I mean, maybe talk to Moscow Mitch about not holding a confirmation hearing in complete contravention of anything resembling Senate protocol. Maybe. Or maybe talk about the fact that you opposed the January 6th commission and didn't want any Republicans on there. You didn't want it to be a joint commission, a joint committee of the Senate and the House. And now you're pissing and moaning. Oh, who was it the other day talking about the...
There needs to be adversary...
Oh, maybe it was Jim Jacket Off Jordan. Oh, the man who's vying for dumbest person in the United States Senate. Of course, he's up against some heavy competition from Tommy the Tuber, and of course Marsha XXX Blackburn. Goodness, I'm talking, of course, about Ron Johnson from Wisconsin. He works in the lumber mills there. And he said that he was opposed to the CHIPS bill. CHIPS is the childhood health insurance. Never mind. No, the semiconductor bill. Johnson said,
sounds like a lot of people got schnookered. Sounds like they got schnookered.
Well, say it the third time. Maybe Beetlejuice will appear.
And it didn't help the strained relationship between Democrats and Republicans.
Strained? How can you even call it a relationship? I mean, the last time I was in a relationship like that, I wound up getting a restraining order. I'm just kidding. Please, cry some more tears. I mean, really, really do. It was kind of a lot. Where's a good? Where's a?
Where's a good clip from Marsha Triple X Blackburn when we need one? Well, I bet Joe Manchin don't even know what a woman is. I feel betrayed.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, we are past the top of the hour. And if you'd be interested in any conversation, adding your voice to the din, as it were, feel free to jump in. You're always mighty welcome so to do. Lee in New York says, John Cornholio is sad because if he knew what Manchin got, he could have offered it first and got Manchin to turn Republican to get those committee chairs. No. We go through this every so often. Joe Manchin is not going anywhere. He would. I don't think there is any way to make Joe Manchin bow a knee to Moscow Mitch. I mean, they don't like each other a lot. And plus, he would be silly to do so because the Republicans here despise him. And if he was to turn Republican, he would probably face, you know, Looney Mooney in a primary, a Republican primary, and even the Democrats who will vote for Joe Manchin to keep a Looney Mooney out of office or a pill-pushing Patty Morrison wouldn't be there for him in 24. So, I understand, Lee, but no. I understand, Ron. Thank you for that. Yeah, Christian Walker is a social media influencer. And he's kind of known for his not gayness, but is attracted to menness. I don't know how to say that. I mean, I really do. I try to keep up with all the terminology and all the identifications. You know, I try to make, you know, LGBTQQIA plus inclusivity. But if anybody has an explainer on that, a guy who's not gay but he's attracted to men, and I'm not making sport, I'm not making light. I actually want to understand because I'm not some goddamn Republican who thinks it's all just a laughing matter. I actually want to be respectful. I want to use the pronouns people want used. Because among other things, you know, it saves lives. And as someone who just got misgendered up at the Piggly Wiggly, it's no fun. Him. Felt like a character from the Powerpuff Girls. Believe you me, when I go out and about, I try to make sure that there is nothing masculine presenting about me, and I still got him. I got referred to. And because old DJ Brain, I walked in the door, and Annette looked at me and said, "What's wrong?" And I said, "Him." She said, "Who?" And I said, "Him." She said, "Oh, no." I said, "Yeah." And now I've got a song stuck in my head, and it's stuck in hers because I started singing it, and she was like, "I hate you now." You know, I bet you already know the one. If you're not, you're guessing. It's the lesser-known hit by the same guy who gave us the Pina Colada song. Better now? And there's even some hoo-hooting in it. And yeah. I had to do this anyway because the song's playing in my head and I've got to get it out of there.
Keep a bit, brother.
Over by the window, there's a pack of cigarettes. Not my brand, you understand. Sometimes the girl forgets. She forgets to hide them. I know who left those smokes behind. She'll say, oh, he's just a friend. And I'll say, oh, I'm not blind to him. Him, him, what's she gonna do about him?
Yeah, that's enough. Okay, that didn't help. It's still stuck in my head. Sorry. Now it's stuck in y'all's, too. Now, at least we... All we got in common is our misery, so the least we can do is share it. Misgendered Lee in New York says, as a cis male, I found this funny. I got an unsolicited snail mail to participate in a female-only drug test. The letter began, Dear Mr. Lee... Glad I ain't alone. Of course, you know, going all the way back to age 14, you know, I remember the time I was invited to participate in Alabama's Junior Miss. On the outside, I was like, rrr, and on the inside, I'm like, yes, please. Not fair, Jeremy in Vermont says. It's just not fair to sneak songs and slightly singing into the show when there's a fundraising hole. Sorry, there are many folks who refuse to acknowledge who people are and present as. I know. Yeah, I should have taken that into account because we've still got $125. And there's another challenge waiting. There's another challenge waiting behind Chris's Fuck the Theocrats challenge. If we can knock down that $125, we've actually got a chance to take a $400 bite out of this $1,747 hole. So, well, you know what? Let's take a little break, because it's a Thursday, and we've got the Green News Report, and frankly, I'm kind of eager to see what Brad and Desi have to say about, we'll hold off. Let's see what Brad and Desi have to say about the climate deal, but we'll wait on that, Monday night, had to end the conversation and end the program early, and there's Todd. Yo, Todd, how are you?
How you doing, Robin? What's up, baby?
Him. I mean, it happens. I haven't been misgendered in like a month and a half or 2 months, and sooner or later, it's going to happen, though. Him. It was actually. Will you? And it was one clerk talking to another clerk. She said, "Of the lady behind me." And then the checkout line, will you take care of her while I go and get his ice for him? Meaning me.
Mm-hmm. See, at that point, that's when you just say, you need to, in a nice way, say, my name is Robin. You know, let them, in a nice, you know, that way you let them know, no, I have a female name because I'm a female.
Actually, as she was turning and walking, I went, her! Her. I always think of Mike Myers playing Dr. Evil saying, I didn't spend 6 years in evil medical school to be called Mr.
You know, that's the main, well, really, honestly, the real, that's one of the main reasons I called. When you, two things I could tell you were definitely triggered, because usually it seems to me, unless I'm missing something, you refer to the store that purveys the purveyor of fatback as the Wiggling Pig.
The Wiggling Pig, yes.
And you did not do that in this instance. You see, and I knew you were pissed off. And then, you know, when you explained it, I had like a memory. A flashback kind of back in when I was young in, let's say, mid 70s, late 70s. And there were a lot of folks, such as yourself, right, where, you know, it's like, okay, you know, they're still our friend. It's just, you know, that's who they are. That's, you know, they used to be Larry. Now, you know, her name is Lois. Because Lois wears a dress, Lois carries a purse, Lois wears makeup. That's Lois. You know, okay. Still the same person we used to hang out with. She's just, you know, she's just Lois now. You know, same.
Actually, probably that. Always was Lois.
Well, that's the whole thing. She's presenting as, like, who she really is.
Yeah, she was hiding.
With no disrespect. She was hiding. And that's when, and this was back before people could afford, you know, afford things. Afford, well, I won't get into it like that. But before they could physically change themselves, take the afford out of it, before they could physically change themselves. And that, you know, and decent people, that's just, they say, they just accepted it. Okay. It's like when someone tells you, you know, no, please address me as Mr. Tibbs, not Tibby, not boy, not Negro. You know,
they call me Mr. Tibbs.
It's the same thing. It's just respect. Like, you should always, don't assume, and black people know this, a lot of white folks don't know this, you don't ever call people by their first name unless you know them and it's okay. You know, how may I address you? How would you like me to address you?
Oh, I was raised that way. I was raised right. To this day.
See?
And, I mean, to this day, there are teachers I had who were young teachers when I was in high school that I referred to as Mr. and Ms. and Mrs. and Miss. And if we, I mean, we're all adults now. Yeah, I'm thinking of one person. She's probably, 6 years older than me. She will never be anything more, and that's all, Mrs. It's stuck, you know?
Till you die. Right. You know, maybe there's certain subtleties that keep the fabric of our society sewn together. You know?
Now, there's a caveat to that. If the person tells you, no, call me, then you have permission.
Well, that's the whole point. That's the whole point. That's exactly it. See, that's your, well, of course you're astute. You know, right. That's the point. And that was really disrespectful. I mean, damn. If they can't see, wow, okay. Then what? This ain't Halloween. What the fuck? You know, you're not dressing up as you know, you are a woman. That's it. You're going all this trouble, my God.
Well, you know, and we shouldn't even be talking about this because I've been told that I need to leave these stories out of the show. Because, you know, whatever my reality is, we talked about it enough. And I need to, you know, go to other stuff. But the fact of the matter is, and I've talked about this before, I would be talking about this if I was still closeted as Bob. I would be, because I was talking about these issues long before, because I could see from way off, Todd, that this was going to be one of the, that this was the direction that the culture wars were taking. And so we talk here about the things that are the things that are used to divide the American people.
I understand both perspectives. And as your friend, this is what I would say. There's a balance, right? Now, but your show has always been personal because it just has been, and that's okay because, you know, that's how we interpret information, you know, through our lens, and our lens is personal. And, you know, you've always been upfront about it. Now, and I've been thinking about this, you see, early on, you know, when you started to talk about pronouns, I was like, because you were, like, saying, why do you have to keep saying she, he, you know, I remember you saying that, and I was like, interesting. There's something going on here. But, I mean, it can be overkill where, you know, you let your personal situation bleed into the program. But at the same time, you know, the program is largely about current events. And I don't know if I'm noticing it more or just, you know, it's just a trend or whatever, because you got to, what, I don't know if it's on.
No, it's not that psychological phenomenon. And I know, you know, you know what we're talking about. Now, there's a word for it. I don't know the word. It's not that thing where if you buy a yellow station wagon, you're going to start seeing a bunch of yellow station wagons.
Right, right.
This is
right.
Deliberate. This is deliberate. This is, because, see, this is easy. You have to understand the long march of this. And by long, I mean generations. There was a time when inveighing against Dr. King was a solid political strategy. On the day he was murdered, the overall approval rating among white people for Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was way underwater. Okay? And I guess we tend to forget that. Look what was done. Consider the rise of that woman that Tom Hartman referred to as a national treasure, Phyllis Schlafly. Well, that woman took credit for almost single-handedly stopping the Equal Rights Amendment when it had the momentum to pass the states and become a part of the Constitution of the United States. But she made a huge case out of attacking her own gender and the rights of women in America, and claiming it would bring on wholesale communism. And the ERA died. And beginning in January of 1972 with Roe versus Wade. You know, the decent people have been fighting a rearguard action, trying to maintain the privacy and reproductive rights of women in this country for 50 years. And that battle has now been lost. For the time being. Not forever, but for the time being. And this country is in massive retrograde motion, and the right wing is selecting where and about whom they will march and whom they will fundraise on. And these stories are in front of my face every day, not because suddenly I started seeing them because I came out. They're in my face every goddamn day because the Republicans, the maggots, the right wing are putting the issue in our face. I was toddling around, you know, running errands today and going and getting my shot and whatnot, and I was tuned into West Virginia Petroleum Radio. And I heard that they've got some podcast, something it airs once a week at some show, and they present both sides of an issue. And lo and behold, there it is. You know, maybe I'll tune in after the program, but we'll talk to some transgender athletes, and then we'll talk to a West Virginia politician who's dedicated to making sure that sports are fair for everyone. Well, the way it's framed, I'm guessing that's going to be some goddamn Republican who supports the ban that's already in the federal courts now. And so we're going to get us some both-siderism. And we're going to get some fair and balancedism. I just picked, you know, I guess I just picked either a good or a bad time to finally not be able to live in the closet anymore. But by the way, thank you, Tamara. Tamara, you know I love you. Tamara said, I want to fight whoever told you not to talk about this so much. And thank you for that. You know,
well,
I talk about whatever is at the top of the news. And, you know, Jeremy says, fuck the naysayers, Robin. It's your show. The vast majority of us don't care what you talk about, be it things that happen to you or others in your position. Frankly, if you took a whole show and explained how the grass would be greener if cows didn't eat it or walk on it, that would be fine. Shh, it's your show. I know, but y'all fund it. and I've had some, well, it's changed a lot. That's all I'll say. But when we talk, you know, Todd, when we talk about human rights, what we're talking about is, with, you know, I'm speaking broadly, anytime we bring up the issue of human rights, we're talking about people who do not have the rights that white, heterosexual, cis men have. Because that's the gold standard of rights in this country. And in a large part of the so-called developed world.
And I still don't understand that term. What does that mean?
Developed world?
No, cis.
Oh, it's Latin. Just like so much of science, it's just a Latin word. For instance, in Roman geography, there was Gallia Cisalpina and Gallia Transalpina. That means Gaul this side, Gaul same side of the Alps, and Gaul across the Alps. So when one says that one, you know, cis male, cis female, that means they are the same gender that they were assigned at birth. Whereas a trans person is of a gender different from that assigned at birth. So it's, I mean, it actually comes from the scientific community.
Well, I'm okay, that makes sense, because I was getting confused, because it's like, okay, when someone says we're a transgender female, I was confused, like, okay, are they going from male to female or female to male? I mean, you know, I just didn't know. I should, but I didn't. I don't, you know. It ain't always easy,
and that's why we use pronouns. That's why we do the little pronoun circle. But yeah, a trans girl, trans female, was either intersex or assigned male at birth. A trans guy was either intersex or assigned female at birth.
Okay, well, that, you explain that. Now, going way back to what, you know, when we're talking about back in the 70s when folks didn't have the, it was hard for people to get, you know, get things done proper where, you know, they could, I mean, that was hard. Some people had to go to, I think they were going to like Scandinavia to get stuff done, like, if I remember correctly. Yeah, that was the big thing. Because they had to save up money for airfare. Where you're going to stay.
Christine Jorgensen, Renee Richards. Yeah.
All that. Yeah, it's coming back to me. And, it, you know, because I remember I had, it's not about me all the time, but I'm just saying my experience. I had a female friend, and I'm pretty sure she was as she was born. In fact, I know she was, but, you know, one day she said, you know, I like women too. And I was like, really? Why are you going to tell me that? And she was like, well, it's different. It's weird with me because the way she explained it for her, cis woman, her, if is that, am I using that correctly?
Yeah, she, her.
Okay, right. She was saying, well, my sexuality is on the continuum. So, you know, it depends on who I like. I was like, oh, and this is like.
Oh, yeah, what you're talking about there is the Kinsey scale. You know, way over on the one side are the people who are just gay. And way on the other side are the people who are just straight. And then there's a continuum between the two. But of course, that's sexuality and not gender. See how quickly this gets lost.
But guess what? Human beings are complicated creatures.
Oh yeah, and there's things, you know, you're talking about. You say, you know, back when it was a lot harder to do. Maybe you know, maybe you don't. Back in the early part of the 20th century, there was an absolutely groundbreaking gender clinic in Germany. Mm-hmm. The first sex reassignment surgery, as it was referred to then, was done there. And she didn't live that long, but she didn't die because of her sex reassignment surgery. And guess what got closed down the minute the Nazis took power? Guess who were persecuted right off the bat?
Well, yeah, the gays.
And the gender community.
Oh.
Weimar Germany had a lot of gender nonconforming people in it.
Well, Berlin was wide open. Berlin,
exactly.
Berlin was just fucking off the chain.
And see, if we don't talk about these issues, nobody, and you know, we've talked so much about the rise of right wing, you know, what is now called white nationalism, which is a bullshit phrase, but it's neo-Nazism. And isn't it curious that you've got a Republican Party that has moved full neo-Nazi, and lo and behold, what's the hill that they're demanding that we fight on?
You're absolutely right, because Berlin was the cosmopolitan of area of it was more cosmopolitan than Paris in a lot of ways. Like when I say like accepting, open. It was like the nouveau. It was like Rome 2.0. Like do what you want. And then here come the fascists, the brown shirts, the beer hall folk. Yup. You know, you're on that. That's just history. Yup. Interesting. That's interesting. And yeah, well, here we are. America first, Germany first. You know, come on. They ain't hard to figure out.
America uber alles. Y'all.
Y'all. What do you think, y'all? Well, you know, I gotta explain myself.
You're fine.
That's just the way I talk. Because, you know, for the umpteenth time, my better half, I call her man all the time. And she damn sure ain't no.
No. Don't sweat it.
Yeah. But. Oh, okay. So
there's a lot of dudes and you guys get thrown around, and it's just, you know, that's not even worth complaining about. It's the stuff that's just done negligently or disdainfully. And, you know, maybe, in the case of me, maybe it's because I've been going in there for 25 years. And it's not quite so easy to forget. So I'm really... Generally speaking, I'm really easy to deal with in that regard.
Okay, because I'm not trying to be disrespectful.
No. It's just, it's when you're making the effort.
I call everybody man.
Yeah.
I call everybody man. But, you know, it's just,
that's cool.
It's the cannabis thing, I guess. I don't know. But
wait a minute. It's a cannabis thing, dude.
Is Dave there? Is Robin there? Robin's not home. Robin's not here, man. Oh, God. Okay, so shifting gears, since you brought it up, to Merrick Garland. See that? All right, I had to make some kind of segue. I don't believe this. I mean, I believe what they're saying in the press. Okay. You know, he finally had to say, oh, the Justice Department, you know, with Lester Holt's interview and such. But that don't mean shit. You can be indicted. I mean, I know it's an indictment. Okay. They're coming with an indictment. Maybe. But, you know, are you going to follow through with it? You know, I'm not confident. I am not confident.
Well, I don't think I'm the confidence committee here.
You're not the confidence confirmer?
No, sorry.
I thought you was CC, man.
I ain't CC. I'm Missouri show me on this one. I'll believe it when the indictments come out.
When that's something, you're in a state of show me mindset. Yeah, I'm not feeling it, man. If you live in the South, you know, look, these folks will fucking, they will kill their children. They will take their children's money out the bank, their college fund, to go to D.C. and fuck some shit up. I bet you that's going to be a news story if that happens. Because these folks are just, you know, they're living vicariously through this person. You know, this woman in Washington Journal a few days ago, she was breaking into tears because that man's being persecuted so bad. I just wanted to leave him alone. He's just trying to help America. They just don't understand.
Leave Trump alone!
Alone.
Yeah, see, that's just the successor to. I don't know why they won't just give Trump a chance. You know, you're the one that brought that to the table here.
Give him a chance. But you've heard that. I would suspect that you heard that in your travels in your area.
Lord, yes. Where do you think I live? No, I mean, I got a story in the stack here. Were you the one that came up with Stoke the Stroke?
Mm-mm.
No, maybe that was Steve. I'm not sure. But, so, when the news broke Tuesday and everybody went, except us, that there's a criminal investigation of Nitwit Nero's behavior in regard to the terrorist attack. By the way, I pushed my ass, insurrection, screw that, coup, no, terrorist attack. Because if those people who went poo-pooing on the walls in the Capitol on January 6th and stole podiums and went through the... If those people had been brown and Muslim, we would have been calling it a terrorist attack from the first minute. So just in the interest of linguistic honesty, that's why I call it a terrorist attack. But anyway, the Washington Post, you know, they published the story Tuesday night that Merrick Sherlock Holmes Garland had a criminal investigation, Well, Nitwit Nero, that definitely stoked the stroke. And he started going after, and this is not a smart thing, the Department of Justice.
The Georgia phone calls were perfect. Many people and lawyers on both sides were knowingly on the one call. I assume the call was taped. There's zero complaints or angry how dare you charges made during the call, and no hang-ups by anyone aggrieved or insulted at what was said. They were perfect calls. All caps. I was just doing my job as president and seeking fairness and the truth. The election was rigged and stolen.
God, I want him to testify before the commission so bad.
Is perfect an adverb or an adjective? Or does it depend on the context?
Yeah, it's contextual. If it's an adverb, it's perfectly.
Okay.
But he would say because of his big brain and his bigly vocabulary.
I made the call perfect. It was very goodly.
Who the fuck says that? Who says that shit? But it's his mind.
I have the best language genes.
So to me, what he's saying is that what he said was able to circumnavigate any legal repercussions because of the way he said it, which is, first of all, total bullshit, but maybe that's all in his mind. That's fucking pandering for votes. That, you know how many charges I'm telling you, I could stack motherfucking charges to build a skyscraper on that motherfucker. Just on that one call. Wire fraud. Okay. Okay. Committing a crime via telephonic communication. Pandering for votes. Election tampering. You know, how many... shoot. We can get creative on this shit. fuck that. That motherfucker's crazy, man. What? Well, of course he is. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to lose it. But, I mean, but what?
No. I mean, isn't he?
Just more disinformation by the Democrats, like the Russia scam. Impeachment hoax number one, impeachment hoax number two, the long-running Mueller report, which ended in no collusion, and so much more. Now that we have found the answers to these crooked election-changing events, why is the Justice Department not prosecuting those responsible? Plenty of time left.
And, you know, went there, you know.
People forget this is all about a rigged and stolen election,
which we now have sworn testimony that he knew was not true. He is still saying things that he's admitted were not true. I mean, I think it's okay. Kind of important to point that out.
That's you read my mind, because that show that really he I don't know if he's thinking, well, of course he's not thinking straight. You know, he is solidifying the case against himself.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's why there have been so. That's why we've made so many references to Captain Queeg in the Kane Mutiny.
Yeah, they thought it was crazy, but I had him. I fooled them. I caught him with the strawberries.
Hey, another. You know what? We're a month. I mean, if not already, dude is sitting there working a pair of ball bearings 24/7 now, and they have to. They're more like BBs because of his tiny, tiny hands.
They're ground down. It pretty soon it's going to cease up. Where his gear is going, it's going to freeze up, and his ass is going to go through the windshield of a 1950s car. It's going to be. He's going
to. Ivanka, Daddy threw a rod.
It was rough. Oh, as he bleeds on the highway, next to Jane Mansfield, so sad. Okay. Oh, good God, man. But it won't matter to these folks, man. They're going to build statues to him. There's going to be like Confederate statues and Trump statues. But so, you know, you can't. Man, this shit is fucked up. Now I'm in a quandary here, because part of me feels like he's just, you know, he's a scammer, so he wants to keep that money, which he can do. All that money he's raised, he can keep that money. He can keep that money. It's a scam. You know, that's why he ran in the first place. Was to project his brand and make some money. Because somebody, you know, told him, or he figured out, well, damn. This whole American election system, wow, if you have name recognition, you can make some money off of this. I have name recognition. I have a building. Ooh, I can do this. I can make some money. Maybe I can service my debt.
Well, hold on there. You just opened another little door. Do you ever play golf?
Sure.
Okay.
I mean, yeah.
So, you know, PGA, right? USGA. Royal and Ancient. You know, these are all, I mean, Ancients in the Royal and Ancient's name. These are all outfits that, you know, run golf tournaments. And so are you familiar with the great big huge, please, this actually has purpose and meaning. It's not about golf. There's a huge, huge, ugly, nasty-ass kerfuffle about this new golf tournament, the LIV tournament?
Dubai.
Saudi.
Saudi, I mean. I'm sorry. Yeah, told
yeah this is the right. this is Prince Mohammed bin Bonesaw's baby. And so it's basically, I guess, ball washing. Didn't mean it to come out that way. Of you know, this the Saudi reputation, and so they
create. That was brilliant, by the way. Don't you think that's brilliant, like in an evil way? That's brilliant.
Oh yeah, well he's Mohammed bin Bonesaw is an evil man with some good brains behind him. But he came up with this golf tournament. It's called LIV,
when I first saw it, it was displayed as capital L, capital I, capital B. I thought it was Roman numerals, and it was the 54 tournament.
Mm-mm.
But it's, I guess, pronounced live.
He's peeling off PGA professional. He's peeling off PGA.
Right, and one of the people they peeled off was Phil Mickelson. And the USGA had a fit, and the PGA had a fit. Don't know about the Royal and Ancient. But they had the fit, not on commercial grounds, but actually on moral grounds. That golfers ought not be doing business with a guy who has American immigrants chopped into chutney. And I tend to agree with them. Well, guess what, though? You know, I mentioned all this the crap that Nitwit Nero was having a hit, stoking the stroke over. Well, at the end, of course, there's always an ad.
Just arrived in Bedminster for the big Live Tour golf tournament. Record money to winners. Great excitement. Come on out Friday, Saturday, and Sunday to watch the great play by the best players.
So that godforsaken patch of pasture land in New Jersey, the Bedminster Golf Course, is going to host one of Mohammed bin Bonesaw's golf tournaments.
Oh, God.
And, of course, Nitwit Nero is getting to wet his beak because they're paying him to host the damn tournament. So, make no mistake, he's taking money from Mohammed bin Bonesaw. And there's no surprise in it, but it sort of harkens back to, I don't know, him doing that homoerotic sword dance.
Oh, yeah.
And
oh, yeah.
Putting his hand on the orb.
I swear upon the mighty orb. What? No, we don't swear? Oh, just fondle the ball? Okay.
You know, I'm scared of Saudi, like the Emirates, you know. I think the official name is United Saudi Emirates. Is that right?
No, it's just the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia.
Saud, the Kingdom of Saud.
Yeah, it's the Royal House of Ibn Saud.
And by the way, there's an excellent documentary. Yeah, I should know that. On Amazon Prime, and it's called Diary of World War II. And they go into, actually, in the beginning of how he was courted and then how he got fucked.
Oh, well, no, I mean, Ibn Saud comes around about 1925, and the United States wanted a strategic position in the region because Mother England had, you know, Persia tied up, and then in the First World War, they did business with the House of Prince Faisal, and then they in the Sykes-Picot Treaty that closed the First World War, they of course screwed Prince Faisal. But you remember, one of Prince Faisal's descendants became the king of Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
And the last remaining mm-hmm. ruling descendant of Prince Faisal is the king of Jordan.
And now look, they don't like each other.
But their home base had originally been Saudi Arabia, the Arabian Peninsula. That's where they mounted the Arab revolt against the Ottoman Turks. You know, it's all covered in, if you like the fictionalized and problematically white savior account, 1962's Lawrence of Arabia is, again, a problematic but still beautiful film. Nothing like having an Englishman, Alec Guinness, Obi-Wan Kenobi, playing Prince Faisal. I'm thinking you're another of those desert-loving Englishmen. I myself pine for the fountains and gardens of Granada, green and lush. Never mind. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I wonder if maybe when George Lucas was making Star Wars, did he not look back at how great Alec Guinness looked in desert robes and was like, there's my Obi-Wan.
He's already past the casting part. He's like, he's good. We're good.
But the thing is, Ibn Saud comes along and displaces the Hashemites in the Saudi Peninsula. And that's and then the Arab American Oil Company comes into being. And that's how we got our intimate relationship with Saudi Arabia. Dirty bit of business. I want to say like 1925 or so.
Yeah.
With the caveat that I could very easily be wrong.
Well, you know, history's funny because that's why history is so interesting when you see like people who really like they put their whole lives into studying certain things and they pour over and I'm not going to say argue but debate about minutia with their supporting evidence. Because you know that's what you have to call it. Once you got primary sources that can be proven, it's just you know supporting evidence with quotation marks. But wow, you brought up Faisal. And then you know you see, and they never forgot how we reneged on our deal because we went off the gold standard. See, they were supposed to be paid in gold, and then we started to figure out, oh, we don't have enough gold to pay these people. We got to get off the gold
standard. Well, no, and it's interesting because there's a hearkening back to that in the Lawrence of Arabia film because, once again, they found a non-Middle Eastern person to play an actual historical Middle Eastern figure. Anthony Quinn does a beautiful job playing Alda.
You like Yul Brynner?
Anthony Quinn plays Alda Abu Tai, and there's a moment where Lawrence shows him a chest full of British pound notes. And Alda Abu Tai ain't having none of it. Saying, I want British gold. This stuff is worth nothing to me. I want gold.
That's right. That's right. And they still roll like that. Over there. Do you know, I'm shocked, man. Like, only because, you know, they have more money than me. But I have friends, more than a couple. I'm scared to go over there. They go, they're like, come on, Todd, let's go to Dubai. Let's go to Saudi. I'm like, I'm not going over there. All they got to do is say you did something, man. Your ass will be locked the fuck up forever. You will never leave that fucking place. I'm not fucking with that shit. I'm really not.
No. I mean, I am constantly persistently and always embarrassed by our diplomatic relationship with Saudi Arabia. Because it doesn't seem like we can have a relationship with any country in that region without abasing ourselves. The most, mm-hmm. the most powerful country ever to arise in the history of human civilization, and we are. I mean, there's been some big ones. At one point in time, the British Empire controlled 25% of the landmass of the planet and robbed it blind. But we are the bastard child of the English crown, and we picked up where they left off. And somehow or another, when we engage in diplomacy in the Middle East, we always end up embarrassed. It doesn't matter who's doing the embarrassing, we wind up embarrassed. Because we always wind up licking the sole of somebody's fucking shoe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether it's Israel or Saudi Arabia. Look at what a lovely job we did with Iraq.
What, you know what? One of our generals told us to stay the hell up away from there. I forget who it was. They were like, you know what? Don't miss those.
Yeah, you don't want to do this.
I cannot recall who it was. It might have been Eisenhower.
Well, it might have been George Washington saying, do business with him, but avoid foreign entanglements.
Oh, you're going back there. Okay.
Or it might have been it might have been Douglas MacArthur saying, avoid a ground war in Asia.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of forgot mm-hmm. that one, too. It's said, perhaps apocryphally, that is what he told John Kennedy about Vietnam. Avoid a grand war. Because, you know, he already had experience with Korea.
Good God. And you said that never got solved. That never got solved.
No, a state of war still exists between North and South Korea. I think everybody knows that. You know, it's just a truce that's held for a while.
Well, you know what? We need to try to use as little oil as we can. We have to really educate our fellow Americans that this fracking oil, a lot of the oil we have, is not sweet crude. It does not. It's not for gasoline. It's for other stuff.
Well, I mean, and you know, we're. You know, the tar sands filth that comes out of North Dakota.
Canada.
And Canada. And remember, the conventional wisdom on that is, and isn't this curious, that shit is not worth extracting. When you consider the energy that goes into it and the costs involved, tar sands filth is not worth extracting and processing unless oil is at $100 per barrel or more. Hmm.
Well, you see, and that's the other point. See, I'm learning. A lot of people aren't paying attention. And I try to be subtle about it with people I have to cohabitate space with. They're not aware that, you know, first of all, the quality of the oil, there's different types of oil. That oil, and it, you know, it's a world market, but that particular oil will never be gasoline in your car. We need sweet crude needs to be converted. It gets converted to gasoline. The other stuff, that's a different type of oil. It's disgusting, and it's just nasty. It's dangerous. It's toxic. And it's a lot of bad. I mean, like you just explained, so I'm not going to rehash that. Which is more reason why they're giving subsidies, man. If you have property or a house, you got to get some solar panels now, because we got to get, you know, it's already in the move. Like I've been going up and down 95 now for a few months, because of personal reasons. You know, death in the family. You know, I've been to take care of, and the municipalities. Even in, it starts in North Carolina. It actually starts here. It starts in the upstate of South Carolina. You see, municipalities, they have parking garages for their municipal services buildings. And instead of, like, you know, they have covered roofs, but the roofs are solar panels faced in a proper direction. So they're talking out of one side of their mouth, but they know. Because even though I might not stay here, man, I'm getting some panels put on my roof just for one of the facts that, you know what, that's going to protect some of my shingles. I mean, I'm getting old. I'm not going to be around, but, you know, I'll be around another 40 years, probably maybe 30, who knows. But that's one of the advantages. Plus now energy's going up. Electric, you know, come on, man. We got nothing but fucking sun. It's like, why are you fighting against the obvious? God, Ra, the sun god. We're fighting against nature. What the fuck? Even if you don't believe in God, it's just fucking common sense. And you got these people beholding the oil like, whoa, you want to lease a car? You just trying to run this place to get a grand. I'm like, do you like fresh water? Yeah, I like to hunt and fish and everything is. Like, okay. So maybe we need to save our fuel, our gasoline, for emergency vehicles and things like that until we transition. Well,
right, and I saw a post the other day. It was a sign by a river in, I think, Stockholm. And it's and it said in Swedish, you know, these are the fish that you can fish for in this river. And whoever was writing said, I saw this and it just blew me away, because in Sweden, in the capital of Sweden, you can actually fish for and eat the fish out of the river, whereas in any major river in any major metropolitan area of the United States, if you try to eat one, there probably aren't any fish, and two, if there are and you catch them and you eat them, you know, something will eat your brain.
I wish I could say that. I wish I could say what I have to say about that. Because guess what? There are a whole lot of people who eat fish out of where I live, the local river, and they love it. They don't want to hear that shit. They're like, I live on a lake, and I'm not going to make fun of people right now. I live on the lake. I like it. I hunt, I fish, I eat my game, and I eat the fish. I don't care what the government says. And I'm like, wow, and you're dumb as a rock. Like, you can't remember what we talked about yesterday, and you keep repeating yourself. You know,
what?
Everybody in your family has cancer. What? All right. What? See, all this shit is connected, man. And see, you know, and this is one rule we all need to remember. You see, when you control, when an entity controls the land and the water, you can control the people. You see?
Well, right. And you know, we come, and again, as I mentioned at the beginning of the program, it's going to be wall-to-wall nonstop hissies now over the climate change bill. And somebody will sue, and the Supreme Court will eventually overturn it. Sorry. But the thing is, even a 40% reduction in carbon emissions by 2030, which, by the way, is only 7.5 years from now, the world has to be approaching zero carbon emissions, or we are screwed.
Well, I'm sorry. I hate Robin. Please, I hate to tell you.
We're screwed.
It's too late. What the fuck?
Yeah, but no, Todd. You can't say it's too late, because then let's just burn it all. It's the hydrocarbon equivalent of a freaking potlatch. Sorry, no insult to my indigenous friends.
That's what has to happen.
You know, just burn it. Just burn it all. Burn it all.
And it's Walking Dead. The few people that are left, they'll have to reproduce.
Brains.
You know, seriously, because between that and between the guns and people just be with this aberrant behavior, man, it's only going to be about, what, I don't know, 1,200 people left in the United States in about 20 years.
I know. And their last name's all going to be Trump or Bush or Manchin.
Right, Manchin in the mansion. They're up in the high, just like, you know, the Scottish High Castle. Parapet. I got the parapet. I got the weapons. I got the foundry. I'm smelting lead. I'm reusing my cartridges. You know, when they fall on the floor, I'm recapping them suckers. I mean, I didn't know nothing about this shit until I moved south, man. These motherfuckers are deep into this shit, man. I ain't know nothing. It's a whole culture, man. We are some deep doodle here.
Yeah, we are. And, you know, that's... You know, I was talking about the Central Appalachian flooding at the beginning of the program. Well, last week, it was massive flooding around St. Louis.
Oh, that's not good.
Because these storm systems come across that are monsoon-like now, and I know you know because you've been down there in South Carolina how long, Todd?
Oh, a long time.
And so you've been there long enough to see what the weather patterns are.
It's changed since I've been
It is hotter and it is wetter. And frankly, you know, I kind of question my own judgment sometimes, especially in the last two summers, because estrogen changes one's reactivity to heat. I'm supposed to stay out of the sun now because, you know, makes me more, you know, I already burned under the refrigerator bulb. Now it's even worse. But my God, just walking out the studio door. And, you know, it's high summer, so, you know, T-shirt and shorts. And it feels like somebody's thrown a wet blanket that's been in a steam locker on you. It's just, it weighs you down.
It's quite interesting you bring that up. Because if we notice, if you run a Windows-based system, now, the UV index is right there, right in your face. You see, they let you know. You know, and people who are paying attention, I started to notice this about 15 years ago, you know, because I've been driving up and down the road 95 for, you know, my whole life, really. You know, you have your arm out of the window. You don't want to have the air on all the time because you want to save some gas and you want some fresh air or whatever. You can feel the intensity, the barrier, our ozone barrier is depleted. The intensity of the sun is going. It used to be you could be out in the sun all day, even without sunscreen. You know, you could go a couple days. Because I'm fair skinned. You know, I could feel, you know, I get dark, but damn, black people still have sunburn. White folks, don't forget that. So, you know, now, look at how many people get melanoma cancer now. Every other person, if you live long enough, you're going to have a carcinoma. You're going to have it. You're going to get that spot. Everybody, all these old white men, man, they got all the outdoors people, man, they got shit going up and down their arms and fucking legs and head. And like, oh, that ain't nothing. That's just a scab. I'm like, yeah, that's just malignant. Look at the border of that. Have you even taken the time to look? Like, Well, you know what? I'm going to give you this book for free because you're not going to be around in another 6 months. So here you go. Good luck to you, buddy. Or Vince. Or, you know, say goodbye to your dog that you love. Shit is fucked up, man. You know that. Think about it.
Well, you know, yeah, I do. I mean, I see it. You know, our winters are... But the thing is, again, it's so slow moving that it's like trying to watch a flower blossom. You know it's gonna, but you can't see it in real time, so you can't worry too much about when it's gonna do it. And that's almost that's most of the United States with regard to climate change. And I swear to God, when the water is up to their fucking chins, maggots and Republicans will be saying, "Oh, it's a Chinese hoax."
That's what I don't get that, because they know they go to Miami and snort methamphetamine off someone behind while they purport themselves to be, you know, mainstream, and for years,
Becca. Becca, let's go to the disco in Miami. Becca.
Sorry, it's never a bad time for a Jerry Falwell Jr. joke.
Ain't never a bad time. Are you kidding? Look, man, I was visiting when PTL was a big deal. Jim and Tammy. Ooh. Man, they touched a lot of people. Do you understand how many people they influenced? I mean, that was a...
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, you remember our buddy Dan Fisher, right?
Sure.
Yeah. Dan does these things on Facebook.
Dan is a badass, by the way. Dan is a badass MF.
Yes, he is. And a dear friend. And I got to get him back on soon. We haven't talked in way too long.
But he does these things on Facebook called Rank 'em. And he'll put together these beautiful mosaics of, like, movie stars, records, albums. And his Rank 'em, I think yesterday, was cartoon voiceover artists. And he's really meticulous about it. I mean, it's really fun. It's really fun to go through one of them. And he mentioned, and I don't know if you'll recognize this name. I know if Scott's listening, he'll be like, oh, yeah. Thurl Ravenscroft.
Mm-mm.
Well, Thurl Ravenscroft did a lot of voiceover work, but he became most famous for "They're Great," Tony the Tiger. And I remember as a teenager, because my grandmother loved to watch PTL, and she had her $150 PTL leather gold embossed Bible with concordance and maps and circles and arrows and a paragraph on the back of it. Right. I remember one. Thurl Ravenscroft, the voice of Tony the Tiger, popped by PTL to have a sit-down with Jim and Tammy Faye. And, you know, I don't know if that, you know, anything for a buck. And, you know, people would pop by there and the next thing you knew, they were very good Christians. And then, you know, they left Heritage USA, and next thing you know, well, what were you saying about meth a minute ago?
Yeah.
I saw a story that came out of Australia, and I don't know if Robert in Australia is listening. But I saw a story coming out of Australia of a kid, a five-year-old, who was caught at school with cocaine. And I'm not laughing. It's pathetic. But when asked why, apparently the five-year-old, if this was in fact a real news story, said, "It makes me feel like Spider-Man." I have never read a better description.
Wow.
And somebody said, "Well, with great powder comes great responsibility." Makes me feel like Spider-Man.
You know something?
Those parents. Jesus Christ, those parents.
Well, we're in the chemical age. There was a book in the late 60s. By Huxley, right? You remember that?
Yeah. You talking about Aldous? Or his brother?
Was that Aldous?
Yeah. No. What was the main drug in Brave New World? Brave New World.
Brave New World.
Yeah, Soma. Soma.
I mean,
everybody was on Soma.
Like, damn. And the women is like, "Oh, you're just a vessel." Yeah. And, you know, my dad used to talk about that. Like, apparently he must have read that book, because he was like, I think that's what pissed him off about society. I think, you know, because I'll just be honest. My father was, if you remember Mr. Stress, he was like Mr. Stress's uncle, or his father used to describe, even though he had a day job, a very good day job, you know, he's a professional, but, at some point he became very disillusioned, and he was just like, "Man, these people are fucked up." And he stopped giving a fuck, in a way. But apparently, you know, with this fentanyl, they're putting fentanyl, I mean, how can you fuck up good bud with fentanyl? That's a damn, that's a death penalty. I don't believe in, I don't believe in death penalty. But daggone, you know, we have to have some kind of solace. You know, Jesus Christ, what is wrong with these people?
Well, no, I don't touch this stuff anymore. Because I'm not at all confident about about you know what I'm getting. I mean, I'm old enough that I can remember being a teenager and wondering, you know, if that bag of seedy Mexican ditch weed had been sprayed with paraquat.
Paraquat. You remember that? We would get a bag of weed, and it would be three quarters of it was seed.
Man, I was just shitty Mexican ditch weed.
Sometimes, you know, and then, but, and I've said it before. I'll say it again. This is economics is a mug. This is like Freakonomics. In 1978 through 84, what we call good herb, good bud now, that was called exotic. And it, unless you had a really good hookup or you buy it in bulk, that was between $7 and $10 a gram then. Oh, look, it's the same now. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
How does that work?
Right.
And we're talking about constant dollars, not adjusted for inflation. That's very strange. I think that's very strange.
Well,
if someone of a few.
I'm just, you know, I guess I just traded one vice for another. I traded weed and booze for estrogen, and you know what a high. No, I'm kidding. But well, not about the trading off, but.
Well, let me say this. You know, honestly, like in Jersey,
between dudes spraying down bud with sugar water so that you'll get little what look like little crystals on the bud, and you're going, "Ooh, this is good bud. Oh, this is some sticky shit, man."
So it look like trichomes?
Yeah. And it, you know, it adds weight. Not worth it.
Yeah, but see. Exactly. It's not, but that's exactly why it has to be, you know, codified. One of my favorite words. Because look, man, the dispensary, you're gonna pay, but you know, it's they're tracking devices on that shit. Like you can, you know exactly, they keep track of everything from the bottom to the top. And there's a way to do it. And that's just the way we have to go because it's not going away. I mean, you can't wipe out human history because, I mean, just because some people don't. And, I'm not pro-drug at all. I'm just saying people need to do what they have to do to keep themselves functioning.
Because well, no, we just got a piece of correspondence from Scary Jerry who says, Robin, dearest Robin. Hey, Todd. Firstly, I mean not to give fuckhead Musk, but this is a moment in time. Also, SoFlo, South Florida, is more of a Molly and Red Bull, Corona and cocaine, Slurpee and bath salts kind of town.
Oh, not the bath salts.
Slurpee and bath salts. And then Spider-Man and lots of laughing emojis. Also, ball washing. Lots of laughing emojis. Better living through chemistry. By the way, know what's wrong with the drug war? Reason number 1,345,678. Drugs are what passes for mental health care in this country. And just looks beautiful and hot and gloriously miserable down there, Jerry. Regular is at 389.9, where Scary Jerry is now. We're at 445, I think I saw the other day.
4G.
I haven't been able to fill the tank up in ages. And by the way, thank you, dearest Alma. We are still $125 away from knocking down Chris in Germany's "Fuck the Theocrats" challenge. And I got a note from Alma saying, "I hope you're well. $25 challenge for winning 2022. Hear, hear." And Darlene just sent something along, Todd, that you might find interesting. Darlene in Connecticut, a story from Newsweek, headline, Democrats beat Republicans for control of Congress in four polls in the past week. And Darlene said, huh? Do my eyes deceive? You know, one may dare dream.
Hey, we'll see. It's early.
It is, and the pressure is going to be ramped up. But you know, just as we relied on the black community in Georgia to save our asses in 2020, well, it's gonna have to be women nationwide this time through. And
yes.
Because we've got to maintain control, and we need a majority that we can count on in both houses. And just to give you an idea, I've been talking the last couple of days about these neo-maxi Zoom dweebies, these guys who, you know, would have been ever so much better off, the world would have been ever so much better off if Daddy would have pulled out and they would have left these Republicans wadded up in a napkin at a picnic. I'm sorry, that's gross, but it's true. Best part of them ran down their mama's leg. But they passed the anti-abortion bill out of the West Virginia House of Delegates yesterday. And it's really gross. It's disgusting. They felt like they were really doing something, by the way, because the West Virginia abortion bill, lo and behold, contains exceptions for the health and well-being of the, well, and it, not really. There are no exceptions for the health of the mother. There are narrow exceptions for the life of the mother. And get this, after having been pilloried over no exceptions for rape and incest, these good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual, Christian Republicans said, well, all right, we can have some rape and incest exceptions here. And so their rape and incest exception in this House bill that's been passed is that there can be an exception for rape or incest, but only if it's reported to law enforcement. Now, we already know, Todd, we already know how many rapes are committed in this country that go unreported. But really? Incest? A 12-year-old girl whose daddy gets to rutting on little Mayella? And I guess what? She's supposed to get up and go to the police? This 12-year-old? 10-year-old? Ohio? And go through the trauma of a rape kit and give a statement on her daddy, on her brother, on her grandpa, on her uncle?
Then where are they going to go? They're going to live in that same house with that motherfucker?
Right. But wait, there's more. And then she's got, again, you know, we're talking about a child, and she's got to wait to find out. Look, when menarche occurs in a pubescent girl, periods are not consistent at the beginning.
No.
And so she may be 10, 15 weeks pregnant or more before she ever finds out. But the West Virginia Republicans say that, well, she can't have an abortion unless there's a goddamn police report. York. Holy hell.
All right. Listen, it's a good thing that our lawmakers in Washington, D.C., that the people in the House of Representatives and our Congress people, it's a good thing that they are required to have a degree in biology and be a bona fide medical professional, a physician. I'm glad they are, all of them are physicians, so they're able to make this determination to make these laws. That's what I'm happy about. Oh, wait a minute. That's not true.
No, that's not true. No, this bill was passed out of the House of Delegates in West Virginia on the word of, you know, gospel sharps and a boy that went to high school with two of my daughters, who really, and you know, confirmed absolute Neo Maxi Zoom Dweeby. And a guy that you would not leave. I mean, Jesus, some of these guys, you wouldn't leave a book of matches with one match left in it around these fuckers, because they got I'm going to steal that written all over them. But and by the way, it was almost all men, not entirely men, who passed this bill. But basically, they modeled their bill on a bill that was passed in the 19th century by dudes who had owned slaves. And they didn't care about no irony.
I mean, that was good business if you could do it.
Yeah, as Stephen New York points out, must report the rape. There's no way anyone will ever convince me that were Jesus alive, he'd be saying, yeah, that's exactly what I meant. I mean, the must report the... No, that's a classic case of misreading the scripture, you know, where it says, suffer the little children to come unto me. No. Republicans read it and they say, come on, y'all, let's make the children suffer. Oh, it's sickening.
Let me say that.
And then it'll go to the West Virginia Senate, and we're going to hear some more about Jesus and the precious little fetuses, the precious little sea monkeys.
I two things here. It's just since you brought this subject up, I would say that this case of the 10-year-old in Ohio, that tells you what we're dealing with. That would indicate what we're dealing with. Because if that shit don't fucking change your mind, your shit is, you just, I'm sorry, you're not, I don't agree.
And it didn't change their mind. The Attorney General of Ohio was out there screaming that it was fake news, a 10-year-old can't get pregnant. And so did Jim Jacketoff Jordan, and so did just about every Republican in the state. Again,
hey, girls have been...
Again, these are people who believe in the codification of Bronze Age fairy tales that tell stories about, among other things, a god who tells a bunch of men whom he favors to go and make war on a people and to kill all the men and kill all the women except the virgins, and to save the virgins to be raped by the priests. It's in there. I'm not making this up. I'm just kind of condensing it. But it's right there. The children of Israel were told to go and genocide an entire people except for the virgin girls, bring the virgin girls back so the priests could rape them.
And make them whole.
And these mostly white men buy into that wholesale, wholeheartedly, because they have it in their heart.
Well,
and I mean, and you can tie this all in with the weird hang up around virginity. I mean, you'd be surprised. And it again, this is very Levantine and medieval, that there's something special about having sex with a young girl who has no experience whatsoever and is just going to be miserable and hurt. It's not a pleasant experience, but somehow it makes a man feel manly. Ugh! And look, you know, in the New Testament, when the mistranslation that the entirety of Christianity is based upon, that Mary was a virgin, a girl who had never had sex. The Greek term is parthenos, you know, the Parthenon, that's the virgin temple, Athena Parthenos.
Yeah, I'm thinking
Athena untouched by men. Well, the word in Hebrew for that is Alma, A-L-M-A, and it has been mistranslated for a couple of millennia as virgin, when what it means is
young girl. That's all. But there is an obsession. You know, the purity culture of the evangelical church is just so gross. And daddies in tuxes putting rings on little girls' fingers and dancing with them, with the little girls in little girl ball gowns, and they promise their daddies that they will never have sex before marriage, and it's so culturally tied up with the concept of females, women as property. It's disgusting. And the fact that we hang on to it, that men in the patriarchal culture cling to this as some sort of good thing. I mean, I've spent way too much time, Todd, reading about incel culture. And I'm convinced that incel culture, just like these neo-Nazis, all of these fuckers, they are buried deep within the Republican Party. And incel culture is ugly. Oh, okay, I got one handy. Let me read you an incel statement. Trigger warning.
How handy.
Trigger warning, content warning. This is some nasty shit. And you don't have to go looking far to find it. It is all over the place. Let's see here. Now, this is a guy writing, okay? The women listening to this are going to either laugh uproariously or cringe all the way from their from their toenails to the head to the last topmost hair on their heads.
I love how people still try to argue that a woman's vagina does not get looser as she has more and more sexual intercourse. You should go look up before and after sex pictures. A petite slit can turn into a sloppy roast beef sandwich just from losing your virginity. It literally happened to my ex. She originally had what I would dub an any vagina. It just looked like a straight line, and after taking her virginity, the labia was permanently spread open.
That is not, by any stretch of the imagination, a rarity. There are entire corners of the internet that just seethe with this misogynistic hate, not to mention a tremendous amount of stupidity about female anatomy. Bless their hearts. Somebody said, I'm assuming his ex-girlfriend was inflatable and he's never actually touched a living human. To which I responded, yeah, he tried to give her a hickey and she squealed and flew out the window. They're obsessed.
If you could see obsessed. The look on my face, God, if you could see the
and that's
look
even
on
a term. That's even a term that these incels and men's rights movements and MGTOWs, men going their own way, they call a woman's vagina a roasty. Which is short for roast beef.
What's that supposed to mean?
Roast beef. Because apparently having sex with one person for a long time doesn't do anything to the vagina, but having sex with more than one guy completely destroys the vagina. For any play, and I mean, they're obsessed with... I mean, look, these guys have murdered lots of women. These incels.
Oh, my God. Wait a minute. That means they hadn't been with a number of women. Like, vaginas are like faces, like personalities. They're all different. That's stupid. What the fuck? Some women have lips that protrude.
Before I was having my surgery, I mean, you can do all this. And so I got to tell my surgeon, you know, look like this. Did a pretty good job. Aesthetics. But... The bottom line is, this isn't born of ignorance. They are ignorant. This is born of hate. This is misogyny. As we have been proven right so many times in regard to
talking about the makeup of the Republican Party, I'm right on this one, too. They are absolutely awash in misogyny, and it finds its way forward in things like reproductive rights legislation. And it goes to the absolute pinnacles of power. I have no problem. You know, when we think back to the confirmation hearing of Clarence Pubes on the Coke can Slappy Thomas, or the confirmation hearings for Brat, or the fact that we now have a Supreme Court justice who literally held a position of handmaid. Okay? She is full to the brim of internalized misogyny, whereas the Brats and the Sammies and the Slappies and the Keneals and old balls and strikes. Because the church builds in the misogyny almost from the moment that a boy child emerges from the birth canal. And they reinforce it and reinforce it and reinforce it and reinforce it. And that's why I did that rant a few weeks ago about the fact that the Bronze Age is alive and well in the 21st century of the common era. It is. A couple of notes from Steve in New York. Remember when we would call someone or something fascist or Nazi? It was probably hyperbolic. Fascist or Nazi now doesn't even begin to capture it. I'm honestly feeling nauseated, Steve says. And I understand. This is nauseating to talk about. But it's not for sensationalist purposes. It is for the purpose of trying to make us understand where the hell we are. You know, it's like what Scott in San Diego talks about so often. You know, you walk into the mall, and there's a sign, and it shows where all the stores are, and there's a little star that says, you're here, because you can't figure out where you want to go if you don't know where you are in the first damn place. And we don't know. I would say in excess of 90% of the people in this country do not know where we are. They don't know where we are relative to climate change. They don't know where we are relative to issues of basic liberty. They don't know where we are relative to the rise of fascism.
I wish you would home. I said home. In
bless you
on that look here lady on that analogy is the only word. I mean, I could say another word, but I guess it's an analogy. Metaphorical analogy. It's a subtle difference. Maybe not. I was not thinking English major, but when you're talking about, that's something that people of a certain generation can identify to, because you go to that big mall. You know, even when you've been there, it's like, because they changed it up. It's like, you are here. Because that, like, all right, we park here. You guys get fucking lost. You go to King of Prussia, the plaza at King of Prussia, man. That fucker, it's you. Right? You got to know where you are to know where you got to go and how to get back. Where did I park? Man, I've lost my fucking car out there. Anywhere. You can lose your fucking car. We don't know where you are. Fuck around and don't take notes where you at. You know, you pre-partying.
You're right, right. No. You're not wrong. Let's see. I need to send out some thank yous. Thank you, Thule. Thank you so very much. Chris in Germany's Fuck the Theocrats challenge has been met. Fuck the Theocrats. And we are now halfway to the challenge that Darlene in Connecticut put forward, a $50 challenge. There's $25 left to go on that. And again, Alma has and said, don't use my name in vain. Alma in Spanish means soul. And Alma says, these people make me sick, these church people. Alma has the winning in 22 challenge on the table. Thank you, Alma. Thank you so much.
Alma.
And so there's $50 in challenges remaining, with about 15 minutes left in the program, and that would get us down to all told. Thank you, Darlene, and thank you, Alma. We would have knocked out $450 of the $1,747 that we started the program with, so $1,398. $1,298. We'd be down to $1,298 if there is another $50 bouncing around out there. Thank you all so very much. This is so... Well, it's kind of desperate. Anything... Okay. So those two challenges have been met, and we are now down to $1,248. Thank you, Kat, in Ohio. Thank you, Kat, so very much. So that gets us down to $1,248 to finish the month of July. And I can't...
Time people have never contributed. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it remains an amazing process, and I'm sorry. I don't mean for things to get graphic. It's not for prurient purposes. It really is not. And I had a note from Emilio, who from time to time, you know, going back to what we were talking about at the beginning of our conversation. Emilio does a great one-liner from time to time. Emilio is being serious, however, in this instance, saying, "I don't mind if you talk about trans issues. To me, it's natural that you, as a trans person, would want to talk about the politics of trans issues and events. People talk about the issues that affect them because they're the most aware of and affect them. Black folks talk about the struggles and discriminations they face. Women talk about the sexism and violence they experience. Immigrants and the Dreamers talk about immigration and racism, etc., etc., etc. Black folks and LGBTQ folks and other minorities are often accused of being so sensitive. I know, remember, that you don't like that description. To be honest, I think there's a good amount of truth in it. Minorities are very sensitive to the slightest transgression, not because they're weak, but because if they weren't, they might not survive. Minorities have to be perfectly aware of what is said or done in their vicinity and be ready to act in self-preservation. Could this sensitivity sometimes lead to overreaction? I think so, but that's not usually the case. Now, if it sounds bad to say that minorities are sensitive, we can flip the description and say that the dominant culture is very insensitive. White folks are very insensitive, blind about what black folks deal with. Men are insensitive about women, what women deal with. Cis straight people are insensitive about what LGBTQ folks deal with, etc., etc. Now, of course, beyond talking about trans issues because they affect you, you talk about them since trans folks are first people on the ladder of fascism the maggots are trying to climb and build. Trans folks are the latest group of people that are socially acceptable to discriminate against. Before that, it was Muslims. Thanks, Bush Bama. Yeah. Exactly. And by the way, Scary Jerry reminds me of something. The original thought grenade, Ron DeSantis, transgender drag show attack. I read about this earlier today. Look, God. His administration filed a complaint because his administration controls access to things like liquor licenses. That's, you know, the governor of Texas, I know that doesn't make sense. The governor of Texas is actually a fairly weak position. But in the state of Florida, vast, vast administrative powers are centered and situated with the governor of the state. And so Scary Jerry says, don't know if this has hit your stack, but fuckhead DeSantis is going after a bar in Wynwood, Florida. It's a South Beach-adjacent entertainment district about a drag show and goings-on in our adult Disney World down here. And what? And this is a phenomenon. It's a thing that's happening, and so what? There are places who on weekends, especially Sundays, do drag brunch. And so there'll be and like this particular bar that they filed a complaint against, that DeSantis has filed a complaint against, has a 1 month waiting list to get reservations for the drag brunch. It is that popular. And it's a very nice place. It's very expensive. and it is run by a gay couple who met a prominent drag queen in the South Beach area, who then introduced them to this really awesome DJ, and they charge $50 a person to come to drag brunch. And the thing is, it's just a restaurant, okay? It's not a bar, it's not a strip club, it's just a restaurant. So that means kids can attend too. So mom and mom, or dad and dad, or mom and dad can bring their kid with them, and the kids' menu for the brunch, I mean, just to give you what an idea of the economic status involved here, the kids' menu contains two items, and it's $30 a kid.
Wow.
And so the Monkey Up Duclantis administration got a heads up. They were literally trolling the webpage of this establishment, and they saw a video where a kid went up and said hi to one of the queens. And the queen wasn't doing anything nasty or naughty. I mean, it certainly wasn't a strip act. It was definitely not anywhere near as licentious as anything that the kid can see on the telescreen at home. And they're trying to shut down this business. And, you know, Ron Monkey Up Duclantis is all about, oh, you know, we're open for business down here. Tell that to the God knows 100,000 people who died of COVID thanks to his malfeasance and misfeasance, but never mind. He wants to shut them down, and he wants the God-fearing legislature to pass laws to make sure that children can't be around drag queens. Which, although the gulf between, say, a drag queen and a woman like me is the distance between here and Pluto, is a stepping stone to drive gender nonconforming people out of public view. It's about as fascist as you can get. It's pure Nazism. And Ron Monkey Up Duclantis is, you know, a fascist Nazi. Scary Jerry says, last time I saw Scam DeSantis, he was at the condo collapse looking like a monkey rewriting a Linux device driver in C++. And notes, I just downloaded a YouTube ad, free tube player, because his ads are insufferable. And I just tipped wise a synagogue full of Orthodox Jews and told them, listen, a church that will make you have a baby will tell you what day to go to church. And the blood left their faces. And I'm not at all surprised. And thank you to a dear, dear anonymous person who has taken us down to 1198 to finish the month of July. Thank you so much. I can never thank you enough. As to sensitivity, Ron in Raleigh says, the explanation of the sensitivity of black folk is that woke is what woke meant until white people took the word and turned it into something negative. We can't have nice things. Yeah, well, I mean, and when they,
you're woke, you're one of them woke people.
Oh, you mean I'm actually, I don't actually walk around shitting on people just for the sake of shitting on people. I don't act like people like me are the only people on the planet. Woke.
Right.
And drag queen law. Steve in New York says, I thought the parents knew best for their kids. That was what Monkey Up Duclantis was preaching before he decided to start go on a jihad against. I shouldn't use that word, should I? Before he decided to go on a crusade. There, that works. Before he decided to go on a crusade against how private businesses serve brunch. Yeah, they know best for their kids as long as what they think is best for their kids, Steve, is what Ron Monkey Up Duclantis thinks is best for their kids. Hey, thanks, Ralph. Ralph says, come on, people. Robin really needs to see her doctor. She does. She really does. I do. And,
better right.
Yeah, it's more than just a checkup. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
But, I'm glad you reminded me of that, Scary Jerry, because it's just like, Jesus Christ. And now all the Republicans and God-fearing and the cue balls and the
child, the drag queens are going to kidnap that precious child and sell him to Q, and Hillary's going to wear the kid's face. Groomers!
Meanwhile, the Republican Party is up to its eyeballs in groomers. And curiously, the Democrats in the House of Representatives put up a bill. And it was a, guess what? It was a human trafficking bill. It was a bill that its purpose was to combat human trafficking. It allocated $1.1 billion over 5 years to strengthen the and renew the Trafficking Victims Protection Act of 2000. God, 22 years ago, what was Marjorie Trader Gangrene Q-Ball doing then? Don't even think about it. The details, according to the measure, local educational agencies operating in a high-intensity sex trafficking area or a location with significant child labor trafficking would be prioritized for Frederick Douglass Human Trafficking Prevention Education Grants. Local education agencies that work with nonprofit organizations focused on human trafficking prevention, education, and partner with law enforcement would also be prioritized among other groups. It would reauthorize the Department of Homeland Security's Angel Watch Center, which is meant to prevent international sex tourism travel perpetrated by child sex offenders and improve trafficking prevention education for children by including parents and law enforcement in child trafficking and online grooming prevention. Additionally, it would allocate $35 million each fiscal year for housing options that would help women living with their abusers separate themselves. Well, guess what? The bill passed. It passed. But a bill that should have been passed unanimously, well, early Tuesday morning, marginal trailer queen tweeted, "How can anyone who voted for Democrats not be offended by this? Dem said they care about children in cages and migrants, yet migrants are dying every day, women are raped, and kids are being trafficked. All while Dem send $54-plus billion to defend Ukraine's border and not our own." And then the bill came up for a vote, and marginal trailer queen voted against a child trafficking bill, having barked and hooted and grunted about child trafficking, but voted against a bill to prevent it. But she had company. Brian Babin of Texas, Andy Biggs, maggot, possibly soon, hopefully indicted at some point, Lauren Bobblehead Boebert, you know, Clanny Oakley, Mo Brooks, Les Brames of Alabama, Ken Buck of Colorado, Andrew Clyde of Georgia, the guy who said that the terrorists who attacked the Capitol were only engaged in tourism, Louis Asparagus Gohmert, Paul the Demon Dentist of the Desert, Gosar of Arizona, Andy Harris of Maryland, Jody Heiss, maggot from Georgia, Thomas Massey of Kentucky, who tried to threaten AOC and wound up running, Tom McClintock of California, Mary Miller of Illinois, Troy Nels of Texas, Ralph Norman of South Carolina, Stan, Scott Perry, and Van Taylor of Texas, and of course, the pride of Dribbling Dick, Texas, Chip Roy. Ben, we are out of time, Todd. Let's see. Steve, with regard to drag queen, says, "I will guarantee you all of these saw the Birdcage and Mrs. Doubtfire." But that's the thing. Wouldn't it be wonderful if Anonymous would like get hold of the browser history of Ron Monkey Up DeKlantis, and we would find out that it was filthy with trans porn? Okay, not filthy. It was just wall-to-wall trans porn, because that's, you know, that's what Ron's into. Would anybody be surprised? No.
That's it.
But and remember that. Well, never mind. Remember the end of the Birdcage and Gene Hackman. Remember, 22 years ago, Steve says marginal trailer queen was still living on the mothership. she was probably still in her gelatinous pod. And Darlene, if you will let me, I will renew this for tomorrow, but there is another $50 challenge courtesy of Darlene in Connecticut trying to knock this all down. And it would get us down to Yeah, it would get us down to, 1098? That is huge, Darlene, and the program being over. Hopefully somebody will respond overnight, maybe. Or we can extend it tomorrow, and I sure do appreciate it. I appreciate everything. I don't like being this strident. I don't like being... I don't like being this stressed out. So, thank you. Todd, any final words of wisdom?
Yeah. Number one, wow. I want to say, honestly, like, there are folks who listen that have never contributed. And don't be embarrassed. But you have to start somewhere. And you know that you're not going to get this kind of content anywhere else. And I'm just going to keep it very simple. And number two, I think the women of America are going to save us, because just because they live with some weirdo guy does not mean that when they go into that voting booth, they don't see the writing on the wall, because they get enough abuse at home. It's happened before. It's going to happen again. And this hard right move is not the majority of America. So I have solace in that, and have hope that grows out of that soil of solace. And you know.
Thank you.
That's all. Seriously, and
I think you're right. I think you get it. You know, there's lots of space in this world for allies, and there's no doubt, Todd, that you are one. And you know, because you have your own different fight, and we have to understand, like I said early on, when we talk about human rights, we're basically talking about rights that are enjoyed by everybody who is part of the dominant culture, from which people who are not part of the dominant culture are by definition excluded. And that makes it an umbrella. That's everybody who isn't, you know. Go ahead.
Robin, because I really want to, I know you're going, I got to squeeze this in, because I know, so I forget who the caller was, or who the contributor of information was, but, you know, a lot of white people are just—they don't like hearing black people complain. And you know, you're a white woman, and you have afforded space to a lot of grievance to black folks. And a lot of white people are tired of hearing about black people cry and whine. You know, I'm talking about their perception, crying, whine, and such. And it's the same, you know, it's like Mad Libs. Once again, Mad Libs, you just insert, you know, people who are going through different struggles. But that's what you have done. You've done it. I mean, you spent a lot of time on that. A lot. A lot. And that's just the truth.
Well, I was saying that, you know, everything, and, you know, environmental justice is human rights. And it intersects with the rights of women. It intersects with the rights of people of color, because most of the time, for instance, in environmental issues, they're not putting the toxic waste dumps in Bucks County, PA. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're not, you know, they're not putting the toxic medical waste incinerator in Loudoun County, Virginia. Instead, for instance, and this is the classic case, when we had the dam break in East Tennessee 10 or more years ago, and we had those vast toxic ashbergs literally floating down the Clinch River and into the Tennessee River, and the Tennessee Valley Authority had to clean it all up. They put them on barges and then they put them in what were called burrito bags on rail cars, and they sent them to a tiny, underfunded, dirt-poor county in Alabama whose population was, by a significant majority, black. And they dumped it in a landfill there. And then the water started getting shitty because it wasn't even properly lined. It was just a landfill for garbage, not toxic waste. And people started getting sick. And they're still getting sick. And there's still no justice. But that's, you know, that's the intersection of women's rights with environmental justice, with the rights of an oppressed minority. You know, because having toxic waste dumped on your ass is oppression. It is oppressive conduct. And I think our side gets it. It's just a question of how we mobilize around it. And that's a huge question. And we work on the answers here. So I am happy to report that thank you to Arnold, our dear friend Arnold in PA, and thank you again to Kat. We are down to 1048 to finish the month of July, which means that tomorrow, Friday on the front porch, we'll try to make up the Friday, today, and yesterday, and get the month of July entirely funded. And well, this is right up there with the biggest miracle that this community has ever made. So thank you both. Thank you so much. And thanks.
What's up, Arnold? I give you props, man.
You know what? I'm so stoked. If everything works out, and I get to go to Netroots Nation, I get to hang out with Arnold.
Arnold's a little bad.
Are you kidding? Do you have any idea how thrilled I am about that? Because Arnold and I walked around the midnight streets of Old Town Philadelphia 3 years ago and had a freaking blast.
He was there when they popped you for that cocaine bus across the river in Canton.
Yeah, that was Arnold. He was my wheel man.
And when the lid blew off the
Yeah, I mean, and that was some good shit. It made me feel like Spider-Man.
I'm tongue in cheek.
I know.
There was a lot of shit that happened during those times. I mean, my God,
I will never forget that Philly trip because I was staying in a hotel that was literally across the street from the Quaker Meeting House that Annette's ancestors got drummed out of.
I'm gonna tell you something. We're gonna do this trip. It's coming up. I ain't gonna lock in right now because I got a lot of stuff going on, but I could be in a position where I'll be able to do some things.
What we need to do is put together a horn tour company.
Do the
Philly tour. No, you know, and Tara and I have talked about it, and Chris and I have talked about it, because I don't have a lot of stuff on my bucket list, but one of the things on my bucket list is to take the walk of Julius Caesar from the Forum to where the temple was in the dawn, in the sunrise hours of the Ides of March. Some people just want to go to Dealey Plaza in November. I want to take Caesar's Walk. I think that would be a blast. Figure out, you know, get with some tour company or something, and get a little handful of horn diehards together and start going places and doing things. Wouldn't that be a hoot?
Oh my God!
As much fun as we had at the Horn Inn, that'd be for the ages. Of course, at some point in time, I've got to finish all my paperwork and get my passport redone so that it reads right. But I got to get out of here, Todd. I don't have to worry about Podbean, but I got to get out of here because if I'm going to get out of here in the big way, girl's got to pack, and I'm trying to learn not to pack everything, not to overpack.
You know what, Rick Steed? I swear to God, I'm telling you, because I've been running a death in the family, and I'm still running, you know, probate and all this. Let me tell you something. You can buy what the fuck you need where you go. Pack light. If you don't pack light, you'll be sorry you didn't. There are two types of travelers, those who pack light and those who wish they did. That's the truth.
A freaking man. So I know how hot it's going to be. I'm going to take, like, shorts, short skirts, lightweight as I can manage.
See? I mean it. It's no joke, man. It's too late now. But yes, you figure it, if you travel enough, you'll figure that shit out.
Oh, yeah.
You'll figure it out. Well, Robin, look here, one. You are a badass, and I hope... Listen, people, I know there's people like, come on. Listen, $10. You know you had not contributed before, ever, and you love the program. It ain't going to hurt you that much.
Oh, we had a first-timer, and that was wonderful this evening.
I'm just saying, I'm not pressuring anybody. This is a thing. Because, you know, there's no commercials. This is the real. You're hearing real people talk about real shit. You know, real issues. Mostly, you know, like people who know what they're talking about. Paul from the unknown. Dan. My God. We don't have time to. I mean, Dan. When I was like, then I started looking at what he had been involved with. And looking at it with, you know, with that type of eye, I'm like, man, that's a badass motherfucker.
In a good way.
That's all I'm going to say, man.
All right, you have a good night, Todd.
You too, my friend.
All right, talk soon. Bye.
Bye-bye.
What a wonderful conversation. What a great thorn in the side Thursday. It was real thorny, and it stayed thorny, but one of the best things is that we can actually kind of find our way through and make some sense of things and figure out where we are on that mall map. Yeah. So thank you to our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. Again, there's 4 more slots to be doubled if you want to become a subscriber and just set it and forget it on Patreon for the first day of the month or this day of the month for PayPal. That's courtesy of our pal Zed in Iowa. Thank you, Zed. And thanks to our a la carte contributors. Y'all really came through this evening. I cannot thank you enough. We're going to, you know, we will have the horn in August. Not the horn in August, but we will have another month of independent liberal progressive broadcasting. Thanks to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Sparky and Steve in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Remember, brand new fresh Malloy on the way. 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 6 p.m. Pacific. Best place to listen to the first run of Malloy is HeadOn.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia, now a proud union shop, and keeping the coal companies accountable in ways that no other organization can. Please reach out to your member of the House of Representatives. Ask him to co-sponsor H.R. 2073. It's not too late for a miracle. H.R. 2073, the Appalachian Communities Health Emergency Act. It means the future to Appalachia. By the way, breaking news, there are at least 8 people dead in central Appalachia as a result of the flooding that no one seems to want to talk about is brought on at least in part by mountaintop removal. You can bet that Coal River Mountain Watch will. Because I'm part of Coal River Mountain Watch, and I said it this evening. Please stay safe. Get both your boosters. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Wear your mask in busy, crowded, potentially unvaccinated. Just wear your mask, okay? Let's all stay safe through BA5. Pretty please. And maintain your social distance 15 to 20 feet, like Paul from Parts Unknown says. And of course, if somebody comes towards you saying, you know, I can't believe we're spending $54 billion to protect Ukraine, but we can't do nothing about human trafficking, and then votes no on a human trafficking bill. Avoid that maggot like the plague, because she is. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later.